പരിപ്രവാചകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദ അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദൈവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാദ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയം. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം. പുത്രേതിതന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി. യത്സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം. സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം നാ കനികാപി കാപി കാപി. നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദം ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവദീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദു സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമാം So in this 13th chapter, yesterday we seen, beginning with that verse, Krishna said, Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, isn't it? Kshetrajnam, he spoke about Kshetrajnam first. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharada. About Kshetram and Kshetrajnam, Krishna said, ക്ഷേത്രം ക്ഷേത്രയോർ ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞയോർ ജ്ഞാനം യത്തത് ജ്ഞാനം മതം മമ ദാറ്റ്സ് വെയർ വി വർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ ക്ഷേത്രം ക്ഷേത്രയോർ ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞയോർ ജ്ഞാനം യത്തത് ജ്ഞാനം മതം മമ കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ദെയർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് Krishna says that in that chapter, isn't it? Kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam madam mama, Krishna says. And then we saw yesterday also another important thing there is Krishna says you will never understand this body. This body is very difficult to understand. Krishna is saying this, isn't it? We say we understand this body. What do we understand about this body? Nothing we understand about this body. Krishna is saying, you will never understand this body. Why? He says, even the rishis means one who have kranda darshitam. That means, who can see things in a much, much deeper level. Rishabhis. Rishabhir bahudha gidam, Krishna is saying there. Chandobir vividhai pradakha. Brahma sutra padesh chaiva hedu madbhir vinishchidei. In the Brahma Sutram also, Vedavyasa Maharshi discusses about this body. Not like the way the medical texts are written. In a completely from a different angle. And exactly the same way Krishna is discussing in this chapter. Just like it is discussed in the Brahma Sutram, the body, in the same way Krishna is discussing the body here. Completely in a different level. We look at the body from the, what we see with our eyes and see the body. Krishna and Vedavyasa and all, they start why this body has come first of all. That's what's more interest to them. Not how it looks and what it looks and what it's made of. That's not so importance to it. So therefore, you will see here in these next two verses, Krishna is talking about what Krishna thinks this body is. No reference to any of the parts of the body what we talk about, like the heart or the liver or the kidney or... So many other things. There is no reference to any of those things. Instead, Krishna's way of seeing the body is the next two verses. Let's look at that first.
Mahabhudanyahangaro buddhiravyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikamcha panjajendriya gocharai Ichha dvesha sukham dukham samghadas chetana dhridhi edal kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam mahabhudanyahangaro buddhiravyaktamevacha Indriyani dashaikam cha panjachendriya gochara Ichha dvesha sukham dukham samghadas chetana dhridhi edal kshetram samasena savikaram udahritam Mahabhudani ahangaram buddhi avyaktam eva cha indriyani dashaikam cha panjajendriya gocharaha. Then icha dvesham sukham dukham samghatam chetana dhridhi edal kshetram samasena savikaram udahridam.
Two verses. This is what Krishna calls this body. This is Krishna's description of our material body. Krishna is saying here that this, the way Krishna puts it is, this kshetram is a prison house. Is a prison house, a jail. It's like a prison house. So there is no way, Krishna says, you can escape from this prison house without knowledge. You can escape from one prison house to another prison house. But once or all, to come out of the prison house, except knowledge, it's not possible. This is the Krishna's statement. So what all there in this prison house is made of Mahabhudani. Mahabhudani means these five gross material elements: earth, water, air, ether, and fire. Isn't it? and their Mulasurubha. Mulasurubha means their original nature. Tanmatra they call it. And there, that samashti, there is two ways it is. One is called samashti, other one is called veshti. Samashti means in its original form.
And Veshti means when it is packaged into little, little bodies. We are Veshti. Whole creation is Samashti. That is how Vedantam sees that. Whole creation is Samashti. We are Veshti. So in the Samashti form, from there, this creation has come. This creation has come from that Samashti form. Upanishads also says the same thing. In the Upanishads, you will see the same statement comes. That Taittiriya Upanishad says like this, that how this body has come about.
Satyam jnanam anandam brahmam yo veda nihidam guhayam parame vyomam so asnyade sarvan kaman saha brahmana vibaschidedi tasmad edasmad atmanam agasham sambhudaha agashad vayu vayori agni agnena aba adhyam prithivi prithivyam aushadhiya aushadibhyo annam annam purushaha sa esava esha purushot annarasamayaha tasyedameva shiraha ayam dakshina pakshaha ayam uttara pakshaha ayam atma idam pumchem pratishtaha.
This is the way the explanation in the Upanishads about it. What Krishna is saying is the same thing here. From the Taittiriyam this has come. This verses in the Bhagavad Gita. How a birth happens, he says. How the creation happens. First of all, the sky was there, the space. The space was there. And there was a movement in the space, and then the wind came from there. The wind, air came from that. And because the wind has moved, from that fire was created. Fire was created. And from the fire, water was created. And water from the water, when it became solidified, it came the earth. Earth came from that. And from the earth, aushadhi came. Aushadhi means all the plants in the trees. They all came. Aushadhi is turned into food. Aushadhi is turned into food. And food was eaten, and then living entities were born from that. Four kinds of living entities: Svedajam, Andajam, Jarayujam, Udbijam. That's the way Bhagavatam. This is one way of classifying the living entities. Svedajam, Andajam, Jarayujam, Udbijam. Svedajam means that is one born from the sweat. Andajam means that's born from the eggs. And Jarayujam is the one which is born from the earth. And Udbijam means that has come from the womb of the different mothers. It's okay. So there is a starting point. Mahabhudani. Krishna is saying here that Mahabhudani Ahangaram. Mahabhudani Ahangaram. Mahabhudani Ahangaram. Mahabhudani Ahangaram means this Mahabhudam, there is a process called Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means how these five material elements interacted each other. It is in the Bhagavatam also. When you read through it, you won't make a head and tail of it, what it is said in the Bhagavatam. It is so complicated that there is a separate book available on that called Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means when the five material elements, when they came into existence, how they interacted each other, how they got mixed each other. They were not willing to mix each other. They were hesitant to talk to each other. So naturally Krishna has to interfere at that time. And there is a process called Panchikaranam happened. These five material elements, they mixed, got together, and they were born like that. And only these five material elements exist in this creation, nothing else, nothing else. So inside this mic, inside my body and everything, it's only these five material elements that exist, the combination of these five material elements. And this Panchikaranam process creates the material bodies. Material bodies are created through Panchikaranam. Five material elements in different forms it comes. In the earthly human body species, one kind of Panchikaranam. In another animal bodies, in a different kind of Panchikaranam. Actually, it will all make sense to you, because when you look at different material bodies, you can see they are capable of different things, isn't it? And it's very difficult to explain that through the science. Science has no explanation for that. For example, you can see we get sick if you drink certain water, dirty water. We get sick. The pigs and the swines, they are all the time in the filthy water. Their family life is all in the filthy water. They don't get sick. Why? Because of the changes in the Panchikaranam. When the Panchikaranam happens, In different ways they mix in such a way, the material elements. Therefore, certain protection is given to that body, what we don't have it inside us. So that is the difference, because it's happening like that. So ahangaram, Krishna says, Mahabhudani ahangaram. So ahangaram means, ahangaram, Krishna says this. What is this ahangaram means? Ahangaram means samashti. It is from ahangaram creation has come. If you study Bhagavatam, you will notice there. From ahangaram creation has come. Ahangaram creation has come. What, and that gross ahangaram is present in every living entity. And what is that inside us also? I am that ego inside us. It is the samashti ahangaram comes in individual bodies in the form of veshti as false ego. That is comes as veshti as false ego in us. That is why we are able to always refer to ourselves as I did this, I did that, I, all the time. This I is coming from that, identifying with that ego, which is nothing but the veshti form of that samashti ahangaram. So, and it is, this ahangaram is the one which is inside us, doing all this hearing, thinking, listening, tasting, touching, all these experiences. It's for the ahangaram it is experiencing there. It's due to presence of ahangaram inside. So, therefore, he says here, that ego inside us, that I am eating, I am touching, I am hearing, I am smelling, I am seeing, all the five, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. All the five senses, that's all what's going on throughout the day with us, isn't it? Nothing else is happening with us except these five senses interacting each other. So Krishna says that this experience through the senses, what we have, this ego, when it is experiencing these senses, another power develops inside us, which makes a decision, this is good and this is bad, and that is intelligence. When you are experiencing the sense enjoyment, everything is sense enjoyment in this world, is it not? Everything is sense enjoyment. Through senses we are going out and enjoying different things. Who is enjoying? The ego. Ego is going and enjoying that. While enjoying these senses, a vivechana buddhi means a power of discrimination in us develops. And it tells us that this kind of enjoyment is okay, another enjoyment is not okay. So some kind of discrimination comes there. A discriminatory power develops within us, and that is buddhi. That is buddhi. So, and another stage comes when all these things are, throughout the day it is functioning like this. And in the night what happens? It all goes and dissolves somewhere, and that is called avyaktam. You say that word? Mahabhudani ahangaram buddhi. This is in the vacant state. That all goes into the deep sleep state and dissolves everything. That is avyaktam. Yeah. Mahabhudani ahangaro buddhi avyaktam evacha, Krishna says. So Mahabhudam, Panchamahabhudam, five material elements, and which is made of the, including the senses, all of them together, everything dissolves at night, is it not? That dissolution, when it happens in the night, where it goes and dissolves, that is avyaktam. Avyaktam, unmanifested form. Daytime, it is in a manifested form. In the nighttime, it is unmanifested form. Then Krishna says there also, so that avyaktam is our sleep, is our sleeping state, isn't it? In the deep sleep, everything is avyaktam. Everything is avyaktam. Everything in an unmanifested state. That means, without manifesting, in a dissolved state. That is what is called sleep. When we say sleep, what does it mean actually? Without things manifesting, in a dissolved state remaining like that, that is called sleep. This is our so-called sleep. Sleep has to be understood that way. We think sleep is a waste of time, is it not? Sometimes. Sleep is not a waste of time. It's nice to sleep well. At least Vedantam says sleep well. So, because in that deep sleep state, it is not manifesting. That's all. Nothing is manifesting.
Mahabhudani ahankaram buddhiravyaktam evacha. Then Krishna says, indriyani deshaikam cha panchajendriya gochara.
So, there is totally indriyani deshaikam cha, 10 senses. 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action, which we know what it is, isn't it? Shabdam, sparsham, sound, touch, smell, taste, and what is the fifth one? Sound, touch, smell, taste, and hearing. Hearing. So these 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. Word, speech power, hands, legs, vaka, pani, padam, payu, upastam. That means our rectum, the ability to discharge things, and genitals. All these 5 together, karmendriyam, and the other 5, jnanendriyam. So 5 karmendriyam and 5 jnanendriyam, Krishna is saying here, that, and these 10 senses which operate by the power of the mind. Mind is behind it, behind these 10 senses. And what else? Krishna says, panchachendriya gocharaha. What is that? Through the senses, mind comes out and it absorbs in the world, sense objects, all the sense object. So these senses, which are activated by the senses, these senses which are activated by the mind, so eyes are able to see, the skin is able to touch. Similarly, nose is able to smell, ears are able to hear, skin is able to touch, like that, 5 senses. Krishna is saying, if you look into the next 2 verses, behind this, there is something else. Behind this, first verse, Indriyani Mahabhudani Ahangaro Buddhir Avyaktam Evacha. Indriyani Deshaikam Cha Panchachendriya Gocharaha. Behind this, what is there? Krishna says, Icha Dvesham Sukham Dukham Samkhatas Chetana Dridhi Edal Kshetram Samasena Savigaram Udahardam. Savigaram Udahardam. Otherwise, Krishna says, behind this, these senses, the mind, the intelligence and everything, there is one thing, what is called Icha. Icha means what? Icha means desire. Desire, isn't it? Desire. And this is what keeps this going, this desire. Desire is the one which keeps this whole body going. It keeps moving in this world, isn't it? And that is what keeps our life going in this world. In other words, whole life is dependent on this Icha. Icha Shakti. Icha Shakti. There's only 3 power given to us. Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. You will see this. Lalita Sahasranamam, very famous prayers of Sri Parvati Devi. There says, Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. That is how she is addressed. She controls these things, 3 things. Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. All the 3, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. That's her form. That is her form. So that is Icha Shakti, the first one. Icha Shakti means, we say desire, desiring, isn't it? Some desires develops inside. That's why we are acting straight away. As soon as the desire develops, we act. So it is because of this desire, we have material existence. Material existence is, desire is closely connected. So, this material existence is misery, isn't it? Material existence is misery. There is no doubts about that. So it is because material existence is misery, we have to know that the desire is the controlling factor behind it. The controlling factor behind this misery is the desire. You see? You will see, that is why Vairagyam, 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 Bhagavatam says, why? Because as long as there is desire, there is material existence. This is a fact of life. So, therefore, You can look at this way about this desire. When you look at it yourself, you will see this desire is the Ichha, what Krishna calls it as Ichha there. So our desire is everything become favorable to us in life, isn't it? This is our desire. And the reason why our false ego doesn't die is because of this desire. They're connected to each other. So long as you have desire, you will have false ego. This is the rule. As much as desire is there, according to the degree of desire, the ego will also go. They're so closely they are connected. So Krishna is saying here that the reason why the false ego never die is because of this desire. Vedantam is very clear in all these things. There is no doubts at all in all these things. In a very subtle level, the rishis have given us all this understanding about this body. They are not interested in the gross side of the body. They are seeing the what is working behind this body. That's what they are talking about. So they are saying that Ichha Dvesha Sukham Dukham Samkhatam Chetana Dhrati. He says here, so this desire is the one which is causing this problem. The desire is the one which is causing the problem. So you can see here, desire, how does desire manifest in us? We want everything favorable way, everything favorable to us, isn't it? We call this in another form in English, in a very gross level, if you call it, that is called ambition. You see, ambition, we say, one should be, this is what we are telling everybody, become very ambitious. If you are very ambitious, you are considered very good, isn't it? Unfortunately, it is totally opposite. If you become too ambitious in life, what will happen is you will get more in bondage. That's what will happen. This ambition is a gross form of expressing that desire, is it not? The desire develops into ambition, isn't it? Everything, and in a sthulam, in a gross form, it is called ambition, isn't it? And according to your ambition, if it does not happen according to your ambition, if something happens against that ambition, Krishna says that is called dvesham. See the next word? Ichha dvesham. That dvesham, each of these things, we have to understand very clearly how it affects our spiritual life. First thing, it begins with the desire. Desire means this, everything should come favorably to me. And when you have a lot of desires that develops inside, Krishna is saying there, that develops, that desire will manifest in the form of false ego in a person. The more the desires built up, it will develop in the form of false ego inside. And that false ego is always dictating that everything should come favorably to me in life. Whatever I do, the result should be favorable. If it's not favorable, then I get upset and the result is dvesham. It comes from that. Dvesham comes. So this, it should not come. That's my desire. My desire is, unfavorably nothing should happen. Everything should be favorable. So if according to my ichha or desire, if I get something, what happens? I feel happy. Krishna says, sukham. From ichha comes, if anything happens favorably, then it is sukham. If it is dvesham, and if it happens unfavorably, it is dukham. Ichha dvesha sukham dukham samkhadas chetana dhriti. Just like you can see, when you are students, you go to college or school and you study well, if you got the marks what you expected, if you get it, happy. If you didn't get it, miserable, isn't it? And you have been trying to get some job or whatever, business or whatever, if it works out very well, happy. If it didn't work out, miserable. Afterwards, if you want to get married and you got married to someone, you are happy with her, then it's happy. If it is not married to somebody you are happy with, then whole life is misery. So this is the nature of this sukham dukham. That's what Krishna is trying to tell us. According to the ichha, if this ichha and dvesham goes away from mind, sukham and dukham will also go from inside. Sukham dukham is because of ichha dvesham inside. So
similarly, you got sick, very sick, and the sick and the illness has gone away, then sukham. And if it didn't go away, then dukham. Everything, if you look into life, everything is like that. So everything, if it comes favorably, you are happy. If it comes unfavorably, then you are unhappy. So that is how that Ichha Dvesham turns into Sukham Dukham. So where does it all this happens? Krishna uses the word Samghatam. You see that word there? Samghatam. Samghatam. Samghatam is the word for that. Samghatam means that it is all these activities happens in a particular place in this body. And that is what it is called Samghatam. Samghatam. Samghatam means when they all combine together, that is called Samghatam. What all? These five material elements, ten senses, and the gross body, and then these things, what we desire, Ichha, and Dvesham, Ahangaram, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, all of this, this whole combination, Krishna says it is called Samghatam. It is called Samghatam. In other words, body is the Samghatam. Body is the Samghatam. So, this whole body, which is the Samghatam, it is tied to one post. Whole thing is tied to one post. What is that post? Ego. Our ego. This is simply Krishna's explanation of this body. You can see what a good explanation that is compared to what we understand about the body. This gives you a total answer about this body. Body is nothing but this, that 10 senses, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, and then ahangaram inside. Ahangaram inside, which has come from the desire inside. Desire and ahangaram goes together, and from that ahangaram, which is in a much grosser form, it becomes, we call it as ambition or whatever that is. And that is all the time in us. Everything should be favorable all the time. Everything according to the plan, it should work. Only then you are happy. If it works, you are happy. If it didn't work, you are unhappy. Is it not? That is a simple thing, but still worthwhile looking at it. And you can, Krishna is saying here, the result is that when it happens favorably, sukham. If it doesn't happen favorably, dukkham. The combination of all these things together is this body. It happens in this place called body, and that is your body. Krishna is explaining like that. Samghatas chetana dhriti, he says. So Samghatam is all these things combined together, and this whole thing is tied to one post inside, and that post is the ego inside, ahangaram. Ahangaram is the post which is tied to all these things. Because without ahangaram, all these things cannot function. Cannot function. Because if ahangaram is not there, I will not go into the... My seeing won't stop. A person who is self-realized, he doesn't see anything like the way we see things. What happens when you see something? You make immediately a impression of that inside. It's good or it's bad. If you hear a sound, immediately you say it was a good sound or it is a bad sound. If you smell something, you say it's a good smell or it's a bad smell. If you taste some food, you say it's a good taste or it's a bad taste. So everything is divided like this, is it not? So this capacity of the body to operate like this, in this way, behind that ahangaram is working. And Krishna is saying that all these activities of the senses, mind, everything is tied to that one pillar inside, what is called ahangaram. What is called ahangaram. So, keeping this ahangaram as the center, is the center that is based on that is I am desiring things and or I am hating things. This desire and hate is based on this ahangaram strength inside. The stronger this ahangaram inside, the stronger will be the desire and stronger will be the hate as well. Stronger will be the hate as well. So behind that, there is the prana shakti, power of the prana. And that prana, the prana means the power of the soul, which operates all these things together, that prana shakti, and that is what Krishna calls here it as chetana. See that word chetana there?
ഇച്ഛാദ്വേഷ സുഖം ദുഃഖം സംഘാതശ്ചേതനാദൃതി. That chetana is that thing. So this chetana, you can see that in your own life. If you look at sometimes you are very energetic to do things. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the chetana, the prana shakti. When prana is very good, you feel very energetic, isn't it? Sometimes you are very drained out energy. You are very drained out, isn't it? So. So you can see, sometimes you are very enthusiastic to do things, to function properly with enthusiasm and with knowledge, you're willing to act. And sometimes you feel totally drained energy, feeling very weak and tired, exhausted like that, isn't it? So, or no interest to do anything, feeling very depressed or something like that. So you can also experience that without any reason, there will be some disturbance inside. If you observe yourself, that's why, remember yesterday I mentioned that you have to stay outside and look at yourself. You have to go out and start looking at yourself, and then you will see. Don't look at others, look at yourself, because only then you'll understand the body better. So sometimes you can see you yourself feeling a little bit depressed or disturbed inside. And sometimes same person, without any reason, you feel happy and pleasant, or feeling some refreshed, or feeling good, isn't it? So all these things, Krishna calls it as chetana. Chetana is that. So this word chetana comes from this combination of all these things. Krishna also says there is another word called dhriti. Sanghadas chetana dhriti. Dhriti means keeping so many thoughts inside, and the experience of various activities what we have performed in life, different things what we have done, after experiencing them, keeping them in our memory, or this was my experience in the past with such and such a thing, and which controls the senses, and keeping, and therefore these are subtle things. How they are put it like this is that when dhriti comes, it gives you that capacity to go back into the past, and based on the past experience, able to make a decision about what you are going to do in the future. That is dhriti. Dhriti, power of the dhriti. In other words, sometimes you can see, I will explain as an example, that how to control the senses at a particular time. From previous experience, and that capacity to do that. For example, suppose you are working in an office. You have a boss to whom you are reporting, and the boss is very nasty. He is giving you a lot of trouble all the time, expecting you to do more and give you as less as he can in that sense. So if you have to deal with him day in and day out, because you are there every day 10 hours with this boss working there, naturally you will not feel very comfortable. Sometimes you will see in the office, suppose you're a group of people working, the big boss is walking in, everybody will look at you and he'll say, yeah, yes, arrived. There'll be some sly remarks inside the office itself. People will do that, isn't it? So what it is that with the boss, he gives you so much trouble in the office, and sometimes what do you feel? You want to give him a good punch and get out of the office from there, because the kind of things he's demanding from you. But you don't do it. Why? Dhriti. That is dhriti. Dhriti pulls you back, telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Isn't it? Because it reminds you of the consequences if you do that. Sometimes it does happen like that. Some people cannot do that. They lose it. They lost it at that time. They lost it at that time. They can't do anything about it. And it is shocking sometimes when people react like that. In the offices particularly it happens like this, that if you push a person too far, he loses that and he reacts very strongly to it. That's called a dhriti. But what has stopped you from, and what will you do? You'll go home and tell your wife that man, I tell you, I really wanted to give something, but I didn't do it. And say, But then at home, if the child has done something very small, mistake something, you go and give him a good smack. All this happens, isn't it? This happens in everyone's life. Child has done something very simple thing. Some small mistake he has committed. But there you have acted straight away. In the office, that man who has given you a lot of hell, he couldn't do anything with him. You just have to restrain yourself. But with the child, you didn't have to. So, who controlled all these things? Krishna is saying, Dhriti. That is Dhriti. From inside, somebody pulls back. So, you can do this, you should not do that. So, this this body, Krishna is saying here, what he is talking about is Kshetram now. He is talking about the Kshetram, isn't it? So, everything what Krishna is saying here is in relationship with the Kshetram. You have to remember like that. So, apart from this, there are so many other things also going on inside the body. So, Ichha itself, but Krishna has not given importance to all the other things. Other things means, like for example, we are eating food, it gets digested, then the circulation of the blood and so many other factors, that's not been given any importance. Only the subtle side of it. You can see that from the verses. Only the subtle side is spoken. First he said, the body is, what is the body? Body is Mahabhudani Ahangaram Buddhi Avyaktam Evacha. Indriyani Vishayikamcha Panchajendriya Gochara. That is the gross side of the body. Then the subtle side of the body is Icha Dvesham Sukham Dukham Sanghadas Chedana Dhradi. Etad Kshetram. This is the Kshetram, Krishna says. So Krishna hasn't touched anything with the like the anatomy or anything else. He has talked about the body. Nothing has been spoken. So there are other things happening in the body, many other processes, and this Ichha itself is a big thing. Ichha is the main thing in all these things. Desire. It is centered around that all these things are happening, isn't it? So, that Ichha, it comes in different forms, isn't it? So, all of them that is an expansion of the Ahangaram inside, false ego inside. And that is why in the Upanishads and the Bhagavadam also, they use the word called Chijjada Granthi. You will see this word used in the Bhagavadam in few places. Chijjada Granthi. You will see in the Bhagavadam, if you look into the first canto, you will see there a verse, Bidyade Hridaya Granthi. That Granthi is the Chijjada Granthi. Granthi means, I think the English translation is gland for the Granthi. But it is actually the subtle aspect where everything is tied to. The Chijjada Granthi, it is called. And that Chijjada Granthi, Vidyade Hridaya Granthi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chasya Karmani Drishto Evalmanishwere. That one verse taken directly from the Upanishads and put it in the Bhagavadam in the second chapter of the first canto. Vidyade Hridaya Granthi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chasya Karmani Drishto Evalmanishwere. That is the verse in the Bhagavadam. In the Upanishad, the same verse comes, Vidyade Hridaya Granthi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya Kshiyande Chasya Karmani Drishto Eva Paravare. That's only the last word is slightly different. Because in Bhagavadam, it is referring to Krishna, it is addressed as Ishware. Whereas in the Upanishads, it is referred to Brahman, therefore it mentions Parai. Drishteva Paravare, it mentions like that. So that's the only difference there. But in essence, it is one and the same thing. So, this Chijjada Granthi, Ahangaram, that is what creates this desire inside. Ichha. Ichha comes from that. What does that Ichha? What does this Ichha mean? If you look at this Bhagavad Gita in this way, forget about the Bhagavad Gita completely and look at yourself and how this process works within ourselves. This whole process, how it works within ourselves. Forget about the Bhagavad Gita completely. What Bhagavad Gita says, don't worry about that. What happens inside us? How it operates? How it operates? For example, say you are watching the television. There's a lot of things advertised on the television. And some of them you found, it's not bad to have it. You thought like that. After seeing that, isn't it? You thought, why not have it? And they put the advertisement in such a way, they'll make it, as you said, $199.99 only, they will say. Isn't it? Then you are thinking, can I afford that? At that moment you are thinking like that. Can I afford that? Should I spend £200 on that? You think like that, and then you are driving to office or something, and the same advertisement has come in a big billboard outside, newly in the market, say an iPhone or iPad or whatever, the modern one of the modern gadgets. And the cost is pretty expensive. You just think that may be a waste of money, You thought like that. It's not much of use to me. Some people don't think, they just go and buy. Credit card is there, isn't it? This is savior for all the problems. They don't think anything, whether do I need it or not, no thoughts. No, just get it. Everything, get everything. That's the sent nature. But there are people who think before they spend, isn't it? Is it really useful to me if I am buying that? But what has happened, television has already planted the seed inside. On the way to office, you saw the billboard again, the same thing. And it so happened, Argus is on the way. You stop the car there, gone inside there, and they say it's a special offer now. So this £200, whatever they are saying is a special offer, actual price is about 400 or something like that. It's on sale, and so many things, and the salesman also, something so happened, that he says it's a really good offer. That time, Dhriti didn't help. When he just have it, you didn't think about it much, you made a decision to have it. And everything switched off in the body at that time. You just got it. We'll think about it later. Let me get it now because it's a special offer. So whatever your financial situation at that time, you may be on a debit with the credit card company. You didn't think about it. You still decided, I'll have it. We'll think about it later. We'll see later what happens, isn't it? So even though the intelligence has told you already you are in debt, even though intelligence is telling you that it's not worthwhile doing it, still you've gone and done that. Gone and done that. Why? That power of Ichcha. Ichcha's power is that. To force you to do that something, and this power, it activates inside a force that comes into action. And the same Ichcha manifests in different ways in us. It's not only buying things. Krishna will talk about that later in the chapter where we discuss about the three modes of material nature. He will say this Ichcha comes in the form of dambham, darpam, manam, kopam. All other things is a manifestation of this Ichcha inside. Is Ichcha inside. So so here you can see that you have gone and purchased something, and suppose instead of Argus somewhere else where there was one of the hi-fi shop or something who are selling all these things, if you are buying there, the salesman will do some sales talk and he has convinced you that you need it, isn't it? So what he done is that he has played on your vanity, played with your vanity. So even though the price was high, and even though here you have seen £200 worth, but when you talk to the salesman gives you another offer with a different model and says this has got all these different extra features which you won't have it in this. There you are again in a confusion. Should I have this one or the other one? Is it not? This happens to everybody. So whether should I buy the cheaper model or the expensive model? But the salesman there, he shifts your attention completely from this. He says to you, this has got so many features which the other one doesn't have, and you really need them. A person of your status will need it for you to function in this world. Somehow or the other, without thinking about it, you have gone to spend £200, you ended up spending £500 there, buying some of the expensive model. You didn't think about it, whether that extra 300 was necessary or not. So similarly, this Ichcha is like that. even if it your budget is going away, budget is broken down, but that vikaram, that uses, see, Sir Krishna uses the word sa vikaram udahridam, that vikaram that Icha has created has taken you in another direction. Icha dvesha sukham dukham sanghadas chetana dhridhi edal kshetram samasena savikaram udahridam, that vikaram it has created inside. That's what it has done. Icha has created that vikaram inside to go against your conviction and able to go and do the thing which is a vikaram. That means you have worked on your emotions, based on your emotions, not based on your discrimination. Rather, based on your emotions, you have acted now. That's what has happened there. Similarly, you can see that got married, started the married life, and something happened. Either husband said something or the wife said something, and some misunderstanding came, and there was an argument. There was an argument about it, and dvesham comes from that. Dvesham came from that, and there was no remedy for that. And if it is not cleared up, what will happen? The same thing, it will go and finally create more trouble and end up in separation as well. So why did that happen? Because they did something what I didn't like. She did something what I didn't like, or I did something what she didn't like. Isn't it? So dukkham. From there, dukkham comes. So you will see there, wherever dukkham comes, dukkham, experience of distress comes, prior to that, there will be dvesham. Dvesham will be there. Only dvesham will be later on followed by dukkham. If dvesham is not there, dukkham won't happen. So, similarly, if there is feeling of sukham, you will see there, prior to this sukham, there will be ragam. You see how ragadvesham works. If there is ragam, from ragam sukham comes. From dvesham, dukkham comes. Remember, Krishna mentions this in a different way previously. Krishna is saying there, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. This is how it operates. That it creates ragadvesham first, and from there sukhadukham later. So, when you have sukham, you want to stay. When you have dukham, you want to go. Isn't it? So these things you can see here, simply by watching the television alone, it can create ragadvesham inside, is it not? You don't have to deal with anybody. Just like how television creates, for example, you are watching a program, a movie or a serial or whatever it is, how they create that scene inside, there will be a hero and there will be a villain, is it not? So some will be some personality you will straight away identify with. You will support someone in the program. And someone you don't like in the same serial. You don't like somebody, you like someone. There itself, they have planted the seed inside. Ragadvesham has developed inside. And all these movies and serials, everything is playing with your ragadvesham all the time. That's what they do to you. So, if you want to free yourself from ragadvesham, it is necessary not to get involved in these things. Unless you have that sense inside, able to see it properly and not able to get affected by that. So, you can see there, when you're watching a serial also, if it happens in the way you want it to happen, then you feel happy. If it's not, it creates tension inside. And without any reason, you will be continuously complaining happiness and distress about it. So, this whole entertainment media is working on this principle. Entertainment industry is, if we have no ragadvesham inside, where will be the entertainment? Ragadvesham is the one, is there, because they know this, that this is in us. And they can play with it, and that is our so-called entertainment.
So if you are not having this entertainment industry, practically you are in a much more stable state. In a more stable state. You only get disturbed if there is something happens in the family. In the family something happens, you may possibly get a little disturbed. But now what happens is, because to escape from the family problems, you are thinking that entertainment will help. And therefore television and so many other things we take shelter of. On the other hand, it creates actually the negative result from that. They whip up your ragadvesham to such an extent, a small disturbance in the family, you cannot manage it. You get disturbed over that. And even if nothing has happened inside the family, still, without nothing happens in your own family, you are watching the problem of the family of so many others, the family problems of so many other people, and you are experiencing that within you. Is that not? Is it not like that? So many, this whole nonsense, what they have done in this world with this entertainment industry, you can see now it's becoming so popular that 24 hours, continuously movie after movie or serial after serial and so many other things, they have created like that. So Krishna is saying this, if you continuously pamper this, which one? Icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham. This sankhadam continuously, which is done through the chetana, dhriti, that is a sankhadam, because everything is combined together, it will have its effect on the body. The body will get affected by this, all these things, what is happening there. So, behind this chetana, Krishna says there, so what happens is, when you have this icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham, and their samghatam, samghatam means which is happens inside this body, based on that, that energy level in the body will change. Your energy level will never be stable. And that pranan inside will keep moving its function, it going up and down, and it will, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down, and it is because of that we are experiencing these changes in our mood every day. Sometimes you feel very enthusiastic, sometimes you feel very depressed also. It is due to this ragadvesham's movement inside, or icha and dvesham inside, and sukham dukham that you are experiencing. Because of that, Krishna says here that the pranan also changes its stability inside. Pranan keeps also changing. And due to that, you feel sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes very drained out in that way. Because why? All the reason behind that is the movement inside this kshetram. In kshetram, what is happening? That is why you will see in the Devi Mahalpam, it says, Ya Devi Sarva Bodeshu Chetana Rupa Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Praying, offering respects to her. Ya Devi Sarva Bodeshu Chetana Rupa Samstida. She is present as Chetana Rupam inside. So here, Chetana is not Bodham. That also you have to know that. Bodham is consciousness, pure consciousness. Chetana is not bodham. Here you can't use the word chetana. In some places they will use the word chetana instead of bodham. The word chetana is used. Chetana. So here you cannot use that, because chetana is spoken about is inside the prakriti, inside the material nature. When it is referred to inside the material nature, prakriti, when it's operating, it is called chetana. Consciousness is outside the material nature, isn't it? Bhumi apanala vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahangare itiyame bhinna prakriti ashtata apareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param thing, that is that consciousness, jiva bhudam mahabaho edam dharide jagat, says in the 7th chapter. So all of this is sthulam, is very gross. So this energy pranan, which rises and goes down, or comes up and goes down within us, that even that energy is a part of the kshetram. Energy is also a part of the kshetram. So sometimes that energy
gets drained inside, and that's when you feel very depressed. And sometimes that energy gets replenished. Energy gets replenished inside. So, Krishna says, Samghatas Chetana Dhriti Edal Kshetram Samasena. Edal Kshetram Samasena. So, that Kshetram, what is that? That is this 5th and 6th verses. Verse 5 and verse 6 is the one referring to Kshetram. Is the one referring to Kshetram. And 5th verse is the Kshetram. And 6th verse is the process behind the Kshetram. Together it is called a Kshetram. But the verse 5, which is Mahabhudani Ahangaram Buddhiravyaktam Evacha Indriyani Deshaigamcha Panchachendriya Gochara, that is the Kshetram. The force that is operating behind that is the 6th verse, which is Ichadvesha Sukham Dukham Samghadas Chetana Dhrati Eda Kshetram Samasena Savigaram Udahradam. Savigaram Udahradam. So, here you can see, if you want to refer to the Kshetram in one word, Krishna calls it a Savikaram. Savikaram, that is the word he uses there. Savikaram. Savikaram means changeful, ever changing, continuously changing. Savikaram. So, Krishna gave a definition to this Kshetram in another way called Savikaram. That is the nature of this, of the body, or the Kshetram. Savigaram Udakhradam. Therefore, what is the problem then? What's the problem because of this? What is the harm of this Savigaram Udakhradam? Krishna says like this, that one thing you have to understand, Krishna says, anything which is Savigaram can never give you permanently happiness. This is the principle. This all we should be very, very clear inside us. Then there won't be any confusion about it. Krishna is saying to us, whatever that is savikaram can never give you permanently happiness. Like the blood pressure up and down in the when they take the blood pressure, you see how it goes up and down. In the same way, this will also keep changing all the time. That is the nature of this body. For example, you can see that permanently it cannot give you happiness. For example, you got headache, you took some paracetamol. Temporarily it has cured you the problem. But next week, there's no guarantee it won't come again, isn't it? There's no guarantee that it won't come back again. So, the pain is gone, temporarily you got a relief, but it's not the permanent solution to the problem. You had taken some food, you are hungry, but after some time, hunger comes back again. Is it not? Hunger comes back again. Or tomorrow it will come back again. Today I have got sleep. There's no guarantee I'll get sleep tomorrow. Often when you get older, you will see this. Some days you get good sleep. Some days you don't get sleep, proper sleep. Why is that? Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidra rupena samsthita. She is controlling that. This is the problem. That nothing in this body, because it is Savigaram. Krishna is saying, because it is Savigaram Udakhradam. Because it is continuously changing. Don't look or expect any happiness from this body. This is the conclusion. That is why this verse is spoken. Because the very nature of this body is always changing. Because of that changing nature, permanently you cannot get any happiness from this body. Permanently, you can't get it. Sometimes you may get it, sometimes you may not get it. These are all the examples for that. You get sick, you take medicine, temporarily you get relief. Tomorrow, no guarantee that it won't come back again. You got hunger, you ate food now, but tomorrow it will demand food again. It's a never-ending process, isn't it, eating. Every day you have to eat, and that two, three times sometimes you have to eat, sometimes four times you have to eat. Endless business. And you start thinking, when is this going to come to an end? And all arrangements, we have to make sure that that food is there on time. Otherwise you get dvesham. Dvesham comes, is it not? So you can see how much we are controlled by the prakriti. Prakriti is completely controlling us all the time. Same thing with the sleep. These two very fundamental things, eating and sleeping. If they are not sorted, we can't do anything in this world, first of all. To such an extent, and these two are always changing. Today one food and you are the same food is offered. He says, oh, it's the same thing every day. So what to do now? Always problem with eating. Isn't it? You don't want the same food, or there is not enough salt, or there is not enough sugar. Something like that. It didn't cook properly, or whatever it is, there is always complaint at the end. Icha dvesham. Icha and dvesham. So all these things, Krishna says here, that this is the problem with the kshetram. That because it is changing all the time, savikaram udahridam, do not expect any kind of happiness from this on a permanent basis. If you get it, sometimes you get it. If you don't get it, don't get depressed about it. That is the argument. It is the same thing with the body. Today you have the health. And the same very body will put you into trouble tomorrow. There is no guarantee with the body, is there? Body will give you some, make you feel today everything is fine with this body. And tomorrow something comes and you feel totally feeling very sick, uneasy about the whole body. And then you start thinking, yesterday I felt so good. Today exactly opposite I am feeling. Either a pain here or a pain there. Or somewhere else it started. And then whole attention has gone away from everything else to the body then. How to fix the body then, isn't it? So Krishna says here, that what is the solution to the all these problems? He says, there is no solution. There is no solution. Similarly, old age will come. Old age will come. There is no solution to the problem. Old age will come and death will come and disease will come. There is no solution to any of these problems. Apart from that, people who are very close to you, they will leave you one day. Death will come and they will also go. Krishna says, Icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham, and everything will happen and there is no solution to any of these problems. That is why, in other words, Krishna is trying to tell us about this body in such a way that we understand the reality behind it. Nobody will tell you these things like the way Krishna has told us, isn't it? And if you take these verses in the Bhagavad Gita seriously and keep repeating them within yourself, then you know when distress comes, what you have to do. Then you know what you have to do when the distress comes, isn't it? Like, people always complain that they had this problem or that problem. Some distress has come. What is the answer? Answer is this, that is this distress real? That's the first thing you have to ask. Is the distress real? Any distress that comes, say due to separation in life, some family member or close person has left you in this world, and for some time you are in distress. When you go into deep sleep, is the distress there? You have to ask that question. Bhagavad Gita is an answer to the question to all our problems. If you take Bhagavad Gita seriously, and if you can apply this into your life, any distress, doesn't matter what it is, no matter what the distress is, as soon as you go into deep sleep, is the distress there? Where is the distress gone? What does it mean? What does that mean? It means that distress you are distressed about is not a real thing. It's something that your mind and intelligence has manufactured from that, a thing called distress, and you are suffering from that. In reality, soul is never touched by the distress. Is it not? So that is the message from there. Krishna is telling us that why these all these things are there in the Bhagavad Gita, so that one could take advantage of this. If you are not utilizing them in life, simply studying the verses is no good. When a crisis comes in life, because we are all going to have that crisis one day or the other, in some form or the other, it will come. And body will get sick. People close to you will leave you and go. And you will be left alone at the end in this world. You will feel helpless also. Krishna's knowledge will take care of the things. That is why this is necessary. So Krishna is saying to us, this 13th chapter, Nature, Enjoyer and Consciousness. This is the title Prabhupada has given that, isn't it? What does it say? Prakriti, Purusha, Viveka, Yogam. How to separate the Prakriti from the Purusha? To understand Purusha properly, to understand Prakriti properly. Not to expect the qualities of Purusha from the Prakriti and expect the qualities of Prakriti from the Purusha. That won't work. Purusha is transcendental. Purusha is the Self. Purusha is never affected by any of these things, and we are Purusha. We are not Prakriti. Prakriti is that has been thrown at us, and we are suffering because of accepting Prakriti. So that is why Krishna is saying here,
that the this is the first I said before, Krishna started this saying that body is a prison. Body is a prison, that we have to accept that. Till you get released from the prison, and there will be no release from the prison till all this knowledge is properly assimilated, properly understood. If we don't take it, one day Krishna will teach us in a direct way. It has to happen one day. There is no excuse, there is no solution to this problem. If I do not accept Krishna's this word and say, no, science is there, that is there, this and that, I can say so many things. If I take that route, one day Krishna will put us in a situation that forcibly it will be pushed through my throat. I'll have to accept it. I have no choice there, because this is the nature of Prakriti. Krishna, that's what Krishna is saying to us. That Prakriti Purusha Vivegam is very essential. That Prakriti, not to expect anything. Purusha, try to identify with. That is the solution to the problem. Go back to the Purusha stage and don't identify with the Prakriti. Prakriti will eventually cheat you. That is what's going to happen. Every one of us will one day get cheated by the Prakriti in one way or the other. Some people it may happen earlier, sometimes it may happen later. But when you get hit, if you don't want to get that strongly beaten, whether you follow through Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam doesn't matter. If you come through the Bhakti Margam, what will happen is Krishna has to teach you that. You will come to know these things at some point in time. Jnana Margam, you learn this first and then you adjust yourself accordingly. That's all it is, the difference is. But knowledge doesn't change. It remains equally important, as valid as for the jnani, as far as for a bhakta, for a devotee. So, one example given like this, that when you're walking in a prison, and in that prison house, prisoners are in every rooms. So when you are walking through in front of one of the rooms where a prisoner is there, he's holding on to the, you know, this bar in the windows, and he's looking at us. We are walking outside, and he's looking at us and he's telling us, please open the door for me, I want to get out. He's fed up inside, sitting inside the jail. He's fed up. He wants to come out. So he saw you walking outside, and he saw that he's known to you or something, some idea you have. He knows you. So he says to you, can you open the door for me? I want to get out from here. I'm fed up here. I want to come out, I said. So you looked at him and you told him, look, why do you want me to open the door? Door is locked. But look back. That side is open. Why don't you go back that way? Turn back and go that way. Come out from there, he says. This is already open, closed and locked it. I can't come out, he said. So, I don't have the lock key for this door, but you come back from the other side. Other side is open, he says. So, when he looked back, he realized it, that back side is open. There is no wall, there is no windows, nothing there. He can escape if he wants. But he has decided that this is the only door to get out. That is the problem what he has got. So you can see here the problem. Let's understand this better. You know, in the chimney, when we have these chimneys in the house, when we had coal fire, people who use the coal fire, still they have the chimneys, but the smoke comes out, isn't it? Sometimes a bird has got inside that chimney. When you say in the summertime, when you don't use the chimney, sometimes if it's not properly cared for, sometimes it's small, little birds, smaller ones, they get inside. And when they got inside, it wants to come out. And it does not know through which hole it has got inside. Which hole it got inside. But the normal nature of the bird is to fly high and escape from that. Is it not? So it's flying high, it goes and hits the top, and there is something on the top of the chimney which is blocking it, and it falls down. But there is a hole from the bottom where it entered into that chimney. It went through that and gone up. So it kept on struggling to go out through the top, but it's not able to come out. It goes, hits and falls off, hits and falls off. Krishna says to us, we are like that now. In this body, we are like that. Because instead of finding out through which hole we have entered into this body,
what we are doing now is we are trying to go out through all the holes in the body and seeing that if we can escape from here, from this body. That's what we are doing at the moment. Krishna's point is that that Jiva's situation is exactly like that. He says here that we have got this body, gross body, the senses, and the nine holes in this body, Navadvaram, isn't it? So what do? Whole day, through these nine holes we are going out to escape, isn't it? We try to escape through these nine holes. That's what our life is in this world. We want to go out through these nine holes and engage in different activities and try to escape from this. Krishna says that you don't know through which hole you have gone inside this, to this chimney or this body. There's another hole through which we have come in. And that is what in the Agadisha Skandam you will see. Sayesha jivo vivara prasuti. Remember that verse? Sayesha jivo vivara prasuti. That verse. That is what he is talking about. Prayena ghoshena gosam pravishtaha. That we came to this body through a hole inside. Where is that hole? The heart inside. Hrit. Krishna addresses that hrit. That is how he came into this chimney. And now what are we trying to do? We are going through the holes outside to see, find out what is going on. Is there any way I can escape from here? That's our present life, isn't it? Present life is centered around that. So that will not happen. That is what Krishna is saying. Close these nine holes, what is there? And look inwards and see through which hole you got inside first. Through which hole you have come inside. And that is the process what Krishna is talking about here. Going from Kshetram to Kshetrajna. Going from Kshetram to Kshetrajna. So, Kshetram is the prison house. Kshetram is the prison house. And there is these five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. And we also have the false ego and the intelligence. Ahankaram and Buddhi. Buddhi and five material elements. Isn't it? Five material elements. All these things are present there in the Kshetram. In the Kshetram. And this Kshetram is the playground of the false ego. If you really analyze life, you will see this. This Kshetram or the body is the playground of the false ego. Of the false ego. And particularly Swapnam and Jagrat. The vacant state and the dream state is where Ahankaram plays its game. Ahankaram plays its game. And Avyaktam. Avyaktam, what Krishna mentions there? Remember? Buddhi Avyaktam evacha. That Avyaktam that has come from its beginning is the sleep state, Sushupti. Sushupti is Avyaktam, and Jagrat and Swapnam is the Ahankaram. Ahankaram operates in Jagrat and Swapnam, and Avyaktam operates in Sushupti. Avyaktam controls Sushupti and Ahankaram controls Jagrat and Swapnam, or vacant state and the dream state. So, what do we do in this Kshetram? We work in this Kshetram, we think in this Kshetram, and we sleep in this Kshetram. In this Kshetram. These three things we do in this Kshetram, isn't it? Kshetram, this is the three things what we do. With the body we work, and through thoughts and the mind we think, and finally that subtle body we dissolve and then we sleep. So these three activities goes on in this Kshetram. With the body, gross body, we work. With the mind, we think, and intelligence, or the subtle body you can say, generally we engage in thinking process. And finally, we dissolve that subtle body and the gross body and goes to sleep, deep sleep. He remains in the deep sleep. So all these three are the activities of the Kshetram. Activities of the Kshetram. So these things is what Krishna is referring there as Savikaram Udahridam. The word Krishna is using there, Savikaram Udahridam. Savikaram Udahridam. For example, you will see here,
then mahabhudani mahani mahandijatani sarvavigaram vyavagatvad. Because this mahabhudam means these five material elements, grows earth, water, air, ether and fire, they are present in all our emotions, in our vigaram, in the thoughts that is happening in us, they are present in there, and in a dissolved form, they are present in there, and therefore they are called sushma. In other words, if you look at it this way, that gross material body, which is made of five material elements, this also has an influence on all the thoughts that is happening in us. How do you know that? The reason is this. You know that Chandogyam says this. The food and the mind is connected closely. Gross form of the mind is the food. The subtle form of the food is the mind. Opposite way, the other way it happens. So, in other words, all these subtle elements, all the gross elements, they are present, they are all mixed together in such a fine mix inside, which we can't even easily understand which influences what in all situations. So, sthulani tu indriya gojara shabdhena abhidhayishyande. In other words, gross elements is those which is possible for you to perceive through your senses. They are the gross ones. Sthula bhudam. Sushma bhudam cannot be known through the senses. Sushma bhudam. For example, mind, intelligence, ego, that cannot be known through the senses, isn't it? Senses can only tell you the gross ones, the gross bhudams. Similarly, this all five mahabhudams together, it is coming from what is known as ahankaram. Ahankaram is the source behind it, false ego. And the cause of that is the buddhi also. Buddhi is also present there. And that buddhi, and in other words, it's also referred to sometimes as mahatattvam. If you look into third canto of Bhagavatam, you will see there how the creation process spoken there. Pradhanam, mahatattvam, avyaktam, so many words they have used there. And you will see that Krishna says like that the cause behind all these things is not vyaktam, and that power behind that is Krishna's power, the mahatattvam or power, what is behind that, and that is another words referred to as maya. And Krishna has also spoken before that it's very difficult to break through this maya and come out. Impossible practically. So then he mentions there that the five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, 10 of them, and mind, which is the creating the sankalpam, vikalpam inside, totally 11, and five sense objects, and sankhyam altogether mentions 24, tattvam altogether. 5 + 5 + 1 + 5 + 8. So that is the Sankhya way of explaining that. And Vaisheshikas is another branch of philosophy. Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam. Vaisheshikams talks in a different way. They mention it in a different way. Now you can see why Krishna has used that word in the last verse, Hrishabhir Bahudha Gitam. Why did he say like that? Because of this reason. Sankhya philosophy says in one way, and Vaisheshika philosophy says in a different way. So Krishna is saying, the rishis have spoken about in a different way. That's how Krishna puts it. Hrishabhir Bahudha Gitam, Krishna says. We are looking for one answer. There is no one answer to this body. The body is explained by Sankhyam in one way, Vaisheshikam in another way, Yogam in a different way, Mimamsa in another way, Vedantam in a different way. The same body. Brahma Sutram explains, Vedanta Sutram explains in one way. That is why he says here, Hrishabhir Bahudha Gitam. In so many different ways, they have spoken about this body. Bahudha Gitam. Chandobir Vividhai Prithak. Different ways they have expressed about this body. And in Brahma Sutram,
which is Vedanta Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put a lot more things in order. Therefore, he says, Brahma Sutra Padescheva Hedu Madhyar Vinishchide, he says. Lot of reasons for the body being like this, Vedavyasa has explained that in the Brahma Sutram, he says. When you read these things, the impression what should come to our head is how powerful the Maya is. People think they can beat the Maya, isn't it? Maya's power, that is what it is. Imagine the strength of Maya. Even Krishna is saying this. That even Krishna is saying this power of Maya is such that even the great rishis, they were not able to explain this body in one answer. They couldn't do it. That is how powerful the Maya is. Just imagine yourself, this material gross body, what we are trying to talk about, even Krishna is saying, I can't explain it, because the rishis have spoken in different way, and the reason why that different ways of expression has happened is because that is the power of Maya, Krishna says. See, Maya, what a wonderful job she has done. Created in such a way everything that even the rishis who are the most intelligent, who had the most subtle vision, even they are finding to come up with one answer, that this is it. No. Maya won't allow that. Even the rishis are baffled by that. That is why Krishna is saying here, Rishabhir Bahudha Gidam. You see that? Rishabhir Bahudha Gidam Chandobir Vividhaischa Pratak Vividhai Brahmasu. But he says, more or less, a reasonable answer is Brahmasutram. He says, Brahmasutra Padescheva Hedu Madhbhir Vinishchide. At least in Vedanta Sutram, with more of cause and effect, Vedavyasa has come up with a lot of answer, he says. That's how he says. He still doesn't say Vedasutra, Brahmasutram is perfect. That also he is not saying. Even there, only to some extent, Vedavyasa has come up with some answer about this body. So complex is this body. This is the reason why acharyas will never accept whatever modern science is talking about this body. You can see where they are coming from, isn't it? That is why when we go up and tell them that, look, this body, we know a lot about this body, they know that you know nothing about this body. They know that. That is why they are so confident about it. Because Krishna is saying this here. Rishis are saying this, we don't know everything about the body. Because they know what Maya means. Maya will definitely cheat you. You will never be able to understand this body. Nobody understands this body. Shankaracharya mentions in the Bhashyam, you think that you know about this body, don't you? He says, like this. You know nothing about this body. That is his description about that. So, to think that I understand this body is the biggest foolishness. Biggest foolishness to think that I know this body. And it is good to know that I don't know this body. Therefore, if you think like that, when problem comes, you won't worry about it because it's not in your hands. You cannot do anything about it. The more you think that you know about this body, the more you think NHS knows about this body, you are in trouble. You will start looking for solution everywhere. And if you don't get the solution from NHS, you will get upset. That's the problem, isn't it? But body will not be controlled by any of these things. You will try some solution, Maya will come and put something else in this spoke. He'll put the spanner somewhere else. And she will completely perplex you. Every moment, all the big doctors, all the big consultants, all of them are baffled by this body. To put it in simple terms, they also don't understand this. They can do certain things to rectify this, but do they really understand this body? If you tell them, they won't agree, but that's another thing. They are know it all time, but they can't do anything about it. But if you study Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's explanation of the body is so perfect that you can't think in another way about this body. Because in your own experience, what Krishna has spoken is a reality. If you look at your own body every day and stand away from the body and look at your own body, how the body is changing, how you are getting sick, how you are getting old, what problems body is experiencing, you really don't know how to manage this body, how to manage this body properly. To do something and to make sure the result comes from the body, never. Never. You look after your body so well and this body will go and give you some other problem, but you never thought about it.
And someone who has never cared for the body is running around happily everywhere. He hasn't got any problems with the body. How do you explain all these things? Where is explanation in the science for all these things? There is no explanation to it. Krishna is saying in two verses that he says here that Mahabhudani Ahangaram Buddhiravyaktam Evacha Indriyani Deshaigamcha Panchajendriya Gochara. That is your body, Krishna says. Behind that body, what is operating and controlling that? Icha Dvesha Sukham Dukham Samghadaschetana Adradi Edel Kshetram Samasena Savigara Mudakradam. If you understand these two verses, you have understood the body. Then you won't have any more doubts about anything. No, you won't get disturbed over anything that happens in this body. You will know that this is how the body is. Maya will continuously change everything. In your body, everybody's body works in a different way. Everybody's body works in a different way. Just like you can see many things related to body also. So many things the medical sciences said before. Even today, they don't know how many hours one should sleep. You go and look at the BBC websites and all the time. One day they will say, a man requires minimum 8 hours sleep. Then after a few days they'll say, you don't need, 4 hours is sufficient, they will say. They also don't know. Simple fact is they don't know. Simply posing themselves as authorities on all these things. This is cheating. This is cheating. You don't know this body because Maya will play that game. And the person who is writing this, he also knows that. That one day he gets sleep, next day he doesn't get sleep. What will he do? What will he do? The same thing with the vitamins, same thing with all your other things also. We think that, okay, doctor has told me get all the multivitamins, A to E or A to A, B, C, D, E, whatever is available, multivitamin or one or two, whatever you want to take. To please them or to please yourself, you take it. But that is not the answer to the problem. Problem is something different than all these things. Why? She is there behind this Maya. She is playing with your body because she is the one who gave us this body and she knows better than the doctor and the GP and the NHS. She knows better what she has given to us. So, Icha Dvesha Sukham Dukham Samghadas Chetana Dhridi Edal Kshetram Samasena Savigara Mudahradam. If you study these verses, you know that the body is not totally dependent on the gross things what you feed into the body or the exercise what you take with this body. All those are secondary factors. All those are secondary factors. Many, many great yogis who have gone a lot more subtle than us, they live without food for days and months together. Even today there are yogis who do that. How will you explain that? That we say you need so much vitamin, so much protein, so much carbohydrate, so much fat, this, that and the other. Those yogis who are, if you go to Kedarnath and you see there, some of the caves who are sitting there, there's nobody giving them any food. They are just sitting there, completely covered in the ashes and with the matted hair. There is no possibility of getting any food there. And they are living there. How is that possible? If it is all based on the food. So what does it show? Food is not the one that keeps the body. Water is not the one that keeps the body. We have, because in our gross understanding, we are thinking all this is the, okay, in our present state we have no choice, we have to live with this, what we have got. But in reality, if you ask, Krishna is saying to us that, Icha Dvesha Sukham Dukham Samkhadas Chedana Dhridi Edal Kshetram Samasena Savigaram Udakhradam. Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita is telling us, understand this body in a proper way. In the proper way. So here you can see here Krishna's point is that these three things, Savigaram Udakhradam means these three things. Which are they? Savigaram Udakhradam. That means body will work, the mind will engage in the thoughts, and finally it wants to sleep. Whole thing wants to sleep. So to get out of this, we gave this example that you cannot get you cannot come out of this unless that we have realized how we got inside first. Before we getting out from that, you have to know how you got inside first, isn't it? So so is it possible to get over out of this kshetram? That is the question. In other words, these problems like birth, death, old age, disease, happiness, distress, all these problems will be there in the kshetram. And nobody is exempted from that.
There is no exception to anybody. Yourself, myself, and even the rishis, and even the incarnations. They are all subject to this. As soon as you, because Maya is more powerful than all these things, she has such a strong grip on everything, even when they come here in different body, they have to go through all these things. Even sometimes in the incarnations also, they have to accept that. Rishabhadev had to go through. Prudhu Maharaj had, they are all incarnations of Krishna. So incarnations have to go through. The rishis, the sages have to accept it. What to talk about you and me? We are also only to understand the power of Maya. And this Maya is the only factor that makes this Vedic philosophy some sense. Otherwise, if this Maya is not taken into account, you will never get an answer to all these questions. And that is the reason why Krishna says, Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. Understanding Maya is the most difficult thing. And when you start recognizing the power of Maya, then you start seeing where you are, in what situation you are. So, every one of us, all of us, is subjected to this kshetram, and all the happiness and distress that happens in the kshetram, we are subjected to that. We are subjected to that. You can look at this way, all the realized souls, they also had to go through, is it not? Through these problems, what we are talking about, birth, death, old age, disease, illness, vyadhi, happiness, distress, that has come to them also. Even in their bodily problems, they have never left them. And in other words, simply what the point is this, nobody can remove the problems as far as the body is concerned. You can escape from here, that is possible. But to think that you can make this body perfect and keep it going well, that is not possible. Whether it is me or you or Shankaracharya or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or somebody else, doesn't matter. They are all gone through the same thing. They all had to go through. Ramana Maharshi, Prabhupada had to go through the same thing, is it not? So no matter where you are in spiritual life, the body has its own path chalked out by the Prakriti, and she controls that body. If it is Shankaracharya's body, Prakriti controls that. Prakriti withdrew that body at a particular time and he had to go. And it is equally applied to all the other acharyas and all the great personalities. No matter who it is, the great devotees, great jnanis, some people left early, some people left later. Is it not? But they have all acknowledged this one fact, that they never, none of them tried to fix the body. None of them tried to fix the body. Whether it's all the great devotees like Tukaram or Namadev or Jnaneshwar, Ekanath Swami or his spiritual master Janardana Swami, who was a great yogi, even they didn't try to fix this body. Because what they knew was this, that body will stay. They had such clear clarity inside that this body is only remaining because of prarabdham. When the prarabdham is finished, the body will go. It is not something where I have to work with. It is a Prakriti's job to handle this body. And if you accept that, then you will know that when you get problems with your own body, you won't get disturbed over it to that extent. At least you know that it is controlled from another place, not from within. Although you may go to doctor, he may give you medicines, you may take the medicines, you may go through the treatment and all that, finally you should be very clear inside that it is not in any one of our hands as far as this body is concerned. Nobody has any control over this, except she, Maya, Prakriti, in other words. What you can do here is that you can imagine yourself or dream yourself that I will get cured with this medicine and I will remain happy afterwards. You can just dream like that within yourself, or you can keep on adjusting your illness to some extent. That's all you can do. Keep adjusting with various tablets and various injections and various other processes. You can keep on adjusting the body to survive here. That's all you can do, but you can't do anything. In other words, what they call it as abeyance, isn't it? You can keep it in abeyance. You can keep it in abeyance before it gets finally destroyed. So, no matter who it is, finally death will come Finally, death will come and old age will come. Old age also will come. All these are defects of the Kshetram. The defects of the Kshetram. So, we have to see the Kshetram in this way. We have to see the Kshetram in this way. So, Krishna is saying here, how can you escape from this situation? So, Krishna is not giving an answer how to fix the body. Krishna is giving us an answer how to escape from the body. That is Krishna's solution to the problem. Not to fix the body. There is no solution of fixing the body in the Bhagavad Gita so that you can remain forever happily in that body. Rather, how to escape from this body. That is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. So, so Krishna says here, this grip of this body on us, that is called, that means the impact. Body has an impact on us, isn't it, at the moment. It varies from person to person. In some people it is very strong, the impact of the body. In some people it is comparatively less. Depends on the person. Some people you can observe yourself these things. Some people don't have a lot of attachment to the body. They will live in this world in such a way that they'll do various things, but a lot of things they will tolerate it. And only in extreme situation they'll go and look for a solution. But some other people find it very difficult. Little disturbances causes serious problems in them. So that means the impact of the aghadam, it is called. Krishna used the word here, samkhadam. Aghadam is the other word. Aghadam means the impact of the gross body on you, on the self. Impact of the gross body on the self. Krishna is saying here that aghadam, that grip, if you can lighten it, or the grip if you can loosen it, it is the best thing to do. And if you want to make loosen it, certain qualifications has to come in us. Some qualities has to come inside us in order to lose that grip of the body on us. Yeah? In order to loosen that grip. The grip is very strong at the moment. But to make it loosen it up, certain qualities, Krishna says, a person must have which will help him to loosen it. Loosen that, these things. And if you cultivate those qualities, Krishna says, if you can cultivate those qualities and develop them within, then many problems, what this Kshetram is giving to us, little by little, they will go away from us. They will go away. We will lose that. You see, when you are very much under the grip of this body, on one side you are engaged in spiritual life. On the other side, the body is giving you so much problems. Yeah? And you find that you can't even engage in spiritual activities because of the grip of the body. Ramana Maharshi calls it as the scorpionic grip of the body, he calls it. Like a scorpion, it is holding you so tight that when a scorpion bites, if you try to pull, only thing what will happen is it's like a crocodile holding on to Gajendra's feet. You won't be able to get out because it puts its, fangs or whatever, so deep into the flesh that if you try to pull out, you will get hurt more. You can't pull it out easily. So that's why it's called the scorpionic effect, scorpionic grip on the body. The body has such a scorpionic effect on the self, which we are experiencing in the subtle body, isn't it? So, in order to do that, Krishna says, if you develop these qualities, to a large extent, you will get a relief from this, from the grip of this. And finally, if you have to get once for all a full release from that, you have to realize the self. That is when it will happen. Initially, these qualities, what Krishna is going to talk about now, if you develop those qualities inside, Krishna is saying to us that you will not feel that grip of the body on the self so strongly. You won't feel it. It will get loosened up, that grip. But finally, once for all, if you want to escape from this, the only answer to that is realize the self. There is no other way. Realize the self, there is no other way. So, in the Shastram, they call it different words. Ajahn Swami uses words as Karalagrasam. Karalagrasam means like the scorpionic grip. Karalagrasam, it is a very, very deep grip on us. So, and it is because of this, it is not allowing us to do anything. Because of this impact of the body on us, the grip of the body on the self. That is how we are unable to do anything. And no matter how much we talk about spiritual life, people will ask the question, that's all fine, Swami, we have to live in this world, isn't it? That will be the next answer that will come from that. But what is the problem is this, that that is also that thoughts that I have to live in this world, this is coming from the Kshetram. Kshetram has convinced us that I have to live in this body forever. Kshetram has done that job. It is that grip of the Kshetram on us. Kshetram has convinced us that I have to have this body all the time. I have to live in this body. That is where it has started. And that is the most important thing. It has convinced us. Which one? The Kshetram has convinced us. The body has convinced us like that. So therefore, no matter how much we talk about it, and how much we talk about loosening it up, and the according to that, to what degree you are able to loosen it up, to that extent, self-realization will become possible. The more we can free ourselves from the grip of the body, the easier it becomes the realization of the self. See, that is the principle. The more we become freed from the grip of the body, the scorpionic grip of the body, the easier it becomes realization of the self. If you look at all the great, great personalities, realized personalities, you will see this, how they lived in this world, never being controlled by the body. Maximum tolerance to the bodily discomfort, bodily problems, bodily miseries in that way. So, in order that the grip to loosen up, certain qualities has to happen within us. And some of them, you have to forcefully do it, and they are the qualities related to that. In other words, some of them are related to the senses and what we call as the character building. And that is what Krishna is going to talk about from now for the next five verses. It's all about that. How to loosen this grip of the grip of the body on us and free yourself from that grip. The highest degree you are able to free yourself from that grip, Krishna says, after that, this realization of the self becomes a lot easier. Lot easier. So, it is no good. All the time we are studying Bhagavad Gita, but don't put any effort in that direction. Simultaneously, that detachment, vairagyam, so many things Krishna is going to say now. And if you look into those verses, next five verses, you will see what Krishna is expecting from us. So let's read that verses. 8.
Amanitvamadambhitvam Ahimsakshandirarjavam Acharyopasanam Shaujam Stairyam Atma Vinigraha Indriyarteshu Vairagyam Anahamkaramevacha Janmam Mrityujara Vyadhi Dukha Doshanu Darshanam Asakti Anabhishwanga Putradara Grihadishu Nityam Chasamachitatvam Ishtanishtoba Patishu Mayichananya Yogena Bhakti Ravya Bhicharini Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aradirjana Samsati adhyatmajnana nityatvam tattvajnanartha darshanam edal jnanamidi proktam ajnanam yadadhonyadha.
Five very important verses. Once again,
amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyam atma vinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahamkaramevacha janmam mrityujara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam asakti anabhishwanga putra dara grihadishu nityam cha samachittatvam ishta nishtopapattishu mayi chananya yogena bhaktiravyabhicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aratirjana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattva jnanartha darshanam edal jnanamidi proktam ajnanam yadadhonyadha.
So, it's good to memorize those verses because they are so important. Amanitvam adambitvam. Translation you can read because you got all the books, isn't it? So you read yourself. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandi arjavam ajaryobasanam shaujam sthairyam atma vinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram janmamrtyu jaravyadi dukkadoshanu darshanam asakti anabhishanga putradara grahadishu nityam cha samachitattvam ishtam anishtopapattishu then maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. Again Krishna says ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini, not the ordinary bhakti what he is talking about, not the type of bhakti what we all have got, not that kind of bhakti. Ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini, gave two adjectives to that bhakti. See that? Two adjectives to that. Ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini, Krishna says. What else? Vivikta desha sevitum. Then aradir jana samsadi. Finally he says, adhyatma jnana nityatvam. Tattva jnanartha darshanam. Then he says, edal jnanam. One who has got all this, he has got jnanam. And one who doesn't have any of this, he is ajnani. A final conclusion. Edal jnanam idi proktam. Everything else is ajnanam tadananyatha. Everybody else is ajnani. So now you know whom Krishna considers who is learned and who is not. Krishna's jnani has got these qualities. It's not that if you have got a degree from this university or that university that you are ajnani. One who has got these qualifications, he is one who is a jnani. So, after talking from this kshetram, I think we'll have a short break, isn't it? It's 5 o'clock.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandambudi vardhanam pradipadam purnamradaswadanam sarvapnasupanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nemida smaranena kala edadrisham tava kripa bhagavan mamami durdeivami drishamihajani nanuragaham trinarabishuni jenam tarorabi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharim nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadishakamayim mama janmani janmani ishware bhavadad bhakti rahe dugitvayim ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം വിഷമേ ഭവാം ഭുദൌ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജസ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നൈനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർ നിജിതം കദാ വപൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടുമം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിധദാ ദുലം വനോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാഃ.
In that sixth verse, seventh verse, Icha dvesha sukham dukham samkhatas chetana dhrati edal kshetram samasena savikaram udahridam. Savikaram udahridam. Earlier, savikaram udahridam, Krishna says there. And in the verse prior to that, he mentioned, in the third verse, Krishna said that, you remember? He says, if you look in the third verse, he says, Tal Kshetram, which Kshetram? The Shariram, Idam Shariram. That is that Tal Kshetram. Tal Kshetram yacha yadriksha, yad vigari yadascha yad, sachayo yad prabhavascha, tat samasena me shrunu, he says. Tell us in samasam. Samasam means in a condensed form. Samasena means shrunu. So therefore Krishna says, edal kshetram samasena. I have spoken to you in essence. In essence. Savigaram udahridam. So there, this icha, desire, suppose some object has given you happiness in the past. Then, again, when you see that object, you want to have it. That is also this icha. Icha is another nature of that icha. Because it is a function of the subtle body, that is why it is included in the kshetram. Do you understand that? That this function, desiring for example, we say it's coming from the soul. The power to desire, without the presence of the soul, you cannot desire. But desire is not in the soul. Desire is in the subtle body. Yeah? Desire is in the subtle body. But the power to desire is coming from the soul. This is how the complex the whole thing is. So, because the desire is in the subtle body, and because subtle body is a part of the kshetram, it is included in the kshetram. You see that? Not the gross body only. Subtle body is also, therefore, Icha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, they are all there because of the presence of the soul. If the soul is not there, they won't be there. But because they are based on the vasanas in the subtle body, and because subtle body is a part of the kshetram, they are included in the kshetram. You got that, don't you? Yeah. So, that's what I'm saying. Why I'm saying that is, that remember this always, the self is untouched, nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. The nature of the soul is pure, eternal, always pure, fully conscious, and at the same time, always liberated. Always liberated. It's liberated inside, but it's only outside. When it comes through the body and the mind, everything, we feel we are conditioned. And we saying we are a fallen soul, we are a conditioned soul and all that. Soul is not conditioned. The mind and the body is the one problem.
You are never conditioned. Soul is never. Krishna says that, isn't it? Bandho mukta idivyake gunado me namastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. He is saying there very clearly. There is no bandham, there is no moksham. It's all in the subtle body and in the gross body, all these things are going on. So there, similarly, so therefore you can see from Icha, it is also a part of the Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means the subtle body. Therefore, it's included in the Kshetram. Similarly, Sukham Dukham. Sukham Dukham also, who is experiencing it? The mind, isn't it? Mind is the one who is enjoying it or suffering that. And that is also because it's a part of the Kshetram. It is a Dharma. Kshetras Dharmam it is. And so this Samkhatam, what Krishna uses the word? Samkhadas Chedanadradi. This Samkhadam, that Samkhado Dehendriyanam Samhadi, Tasyam Abhivyakto, Andakarana Vrutti, Tapte Iva Lohabinde Agni, Alpam Chaitanya Abhasa Rasavidha Chedanasa Kshetram Eyatwad. In other words, the combination of this body and the senses is called Samkhadam, and there what you are experiencing is that the Vritti of Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam's activity is what you are experiencing in the gross body. Isn't it? Andhakaranam's activity. Andhakaranam means subtle body. Subtle body's activities you are experiencing in the gross body. That is how it works. The seed is in the subtle body. Experiences in the gross body. Experiences in the gross body. They give examples like this, that there is, suppose you heat some metal piece, and when you heat it to the very high temperature, it is as good as fire. But where is the fire? It is in the metal piece. It is in the metal piece. Similarly, the rasam of all these rasas, whether it is sukham, dukham, or kamam, krotham, lobham, all other things, and similarly shandam, dasyam, sakyam, all other rasams also, they are all Atma Chaitanya Abhas Rasam, that they are all that rasam that comes from the Atma, but when it comes through the subtle body, it takes a different form. The energy source is Atma. From there that rasam is coming. One, that force is the same which comes from the soul. But when it comes through the subtle body, depending on the subtle body's package, it takes different forms. Upadhi Vedam, that is called Upadhi. So if the upadis is full of kama vasana, lobha vasana, or dvesham, or greed, or lust, or anger, accordingly that thing will manifest in us in that form, in the gross body. So there is a source, there is a subtle body, and there is a gross body. From the source, that power comes. Vasanas are packed up in the subtle body. When it comes through the subtle body, it manifests in a different ways according to the vasanas inside. But the source is still coming from the Andaryami inside, from the soul inside. In a advanced devotees, it will come in the form of different rasas, bhakti rasas. Shandam, dasyam, sakyam, vatsalyam, madhuryam. In the ordinary people, it will come in the form of kamam, krotham, dvesham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. In that form it will flow. But that power that's coming from the power source, it's the same thing. But only thing, when it passes through the subtle body, it picks up those vasanas and comes out. So after that, Krishna, we are going back to this verse. So, so here, so Krishna says now that Kshetram Krishna has spoken so far, isn't it? Kshetram he has spoken. So in order to free yourself from the Kshetram, Krishna calls them as Jnana Sadhana. Have you noticed that? This sadhana in these verses is not Bhakti Sadhana. They are called Jnana Sadhana. Edal Jnanam Idi Proktam, the last verse he says. Edal Jnanam Idi Proktam Ajnanam Tathananyatha. The, which one does, the last verse, 11th verse, 11th or 12th, whatever that is. So, it is, therefore, this is called jnana sadhana, not bhakti sadhana. Bhakti sadhana is shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vadasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atmanivedanam. All that is bhakti sadhana, isn't it? Discussed in the Bhagavatam. These are jnana sadhana. They are different. They are different. You will see that. They are different. So here, Krishna is so kind to us that step by step he is holding our hand and taking us through this. So that adhyatma sadhana or jnana sadhana is the topic what is discussed here, and what sadhana is required and what all sadhana we have to practice in ourselves, and that is what that jnana sadhana is what Krishna is going to start talking about now, from now on. So here, if you look back into the previous verses, in the second verse Krishna started with this topic, idam shariram kaunteya, isn't it? That was the second verse, I think, isn't it? Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram iti abhidhiyate. So that is where it started. And idam shariram kaunteya kshetram iti abhidhiyate edad yo vetidam prahu kshetrajnam iti tadvida. And then he also mentioned kshetrajnam chabhimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharada kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam yattat jnanam madam mama. Then he said tat kshetram yachya yadriksha yad vigari yadashayad sachayo yad prabhavascha tat samasename shrunu. So with the first two verses, Krishna introduced kshetram and kshetrajnam to us. Krishna presented it to us, isn't it? So, in one sense, one who is engaged in sadhana, this verse one has to study for seriously. These verses. This, which one? Idam shariram kaundeya kshetram iti abhidhiyate. So, and from Bhagavad Gita, many other jnanis also, they have taken some verses. And they have presented in their own, according to their own realizations. They have written about it. Saddarshanam is one book like that. There's many others like that, which has come from Bhagavad Gita. The basis is Bhagavad Gita. That has been taken and expanded on that. Idam shariram. In other words, from shariram to go to shariri. That means from kshetram to kshetrajnan. That journey, that is what is indicated there. So, with the first two verses, we have seen shariram and kshetrajnan. The kshetram and kshetrajnan, that is what Krishna has spoken in the first two verses, isn't it? So, kshetrajnan is called atma. Kshetrajnan is the atma. That we have seen. And kshetram, Krishna has spoken so far, isn't it? In the last two verses, Krishna spoke about the kshetram, which he mentioned that five material elements, false ego, intelligence, and finally he talked about avyaktam, when they go and dissolve itself in there. So many things he has mentioned there. Then he also mentioned icha, dvesham, and sangalpam, agraham, or desiring, or our sangalpam inside, dvesham, sukham, dukham, all these things. All these things are experienced in the kshetram. In the kshetram. So, combining all these together, Krishna called it as sanghatam. Isn't it? That's the word he has used. Sanghatam. And he also mentioned there, chetana dhriti. Two more things he mentioned. Sanghatam, chetana dhriti, he says. That's also included in that sanghatam. And kshetram, Krishna spoke about samasam. He says there that samasam eda kshetram samasena savigaram udahridam. He says like that, isn't it? So we have seen everything what is served in this feast called the kshetram. All the different preparations. It's like a feast it is, isn't it? In that feast, what are the different things, what is being served? And we also knew that what is kshetrajnan means, isn't it, also. So, kshetram, why do we require the kshetram? Because it is from the Kshetram, you make the journey to Kshetrajnan. You start your journey from Kshetram to Kshetrajnan. So it is not good enough if you get Kshetram. Suppose you have got Kshetram only, then it's not good enough. You need Kshetrajnan also. You need Kshetrajnan also. So it's not good enough if you get a Kshetram. You should get a Kshetrajnan also. Otherwise it's no use, isn't it, with that Kshetram? There's no use if you don't have a Kshetrajnan inside. If you look into Swami Ramatirtha's book, there's a famous book, In the Woods of Self-Realization. You can download that in the web, you'll find that. He tells a nice story there, very interesting story. He says like this, that, that one person came to the temple and he distributed a lot of sweets to everybody. A lot of sweets to everybody. So people asked him, why are you distributing sweets? You must be very happy. That's why you're distributing sweets, isn't it? People distribute sweets when they are happy. So he says, I'm distributing, he says, yes, I am happy, that is why, he said. So he says, what made you so happy? He says, I purchased a car and it was stolen yesterday. So I'm distributing the sweets for that, he says. Normally you won't do that. When you buy the car, you'll distribute the sweets. But he says, and the car was stolen, he says, I've distributed the sweets because of that. He says, what is the reason? He says, that because I'm happy that the car has been stolen, I'm distributing, he says. Everybody laughed when they heard that. Ramatirtha Swamiji says like this, you are laughing, he said. You will understand if I tell you what the truth is. At least they've only stolen the car, they didn't steal me, he said. Suppose I was inside the car, and if I was also stolen, then what would have happened, he said. Isn't it? At least I was not stolen, only the car they have taken from me. And I'm happy, therefore I'm distributing the sweets, he said. I'm still here, he said. So, suppose I was inside the car, I would have been stolen as well, isn't it? So, after saying this, he says here, though at least a person is there, car is gone, doesn't matter, he says. But our situation is, if we have got the car, we think everything is okay. That's how Ramatirtha puts it. He says, you are happy because you are thinking you have got the car. Our happiness is because of the car. His happiness was when the car was stolen. See the difference there? Our happiness is, when the car is there, we are feeling happy. And he is feeling happy when the car is taken away. This is the difference. So self-realization is completely different. It's not the same attitude what we have now in spiritual life. It's different. So, and he says, what is the use if you still have the car? That we have spoken about Kshetram and you come to know about Kshetram a little bit. But if you do not know about the Kshetrajnan inside, this knowledge about the Kshetram what we have so far spoken is all useless, isn't it? That you have to remember always. I have studied now Kshetram, I know very well Kshetram. All the scientists are doing that. That's what they are doing. They are studying the Kshetram very seriously. No knowledge of the Kshetrajnan inside. What is the use? This is what Shastram is asking us. What is the use of this? You keep on studying about the Kshetram, you have no knowledge of the Kshetrajnan inside. What good is it? It's just like studying the car or maintaining the car. Is there any difference than that? So, that will only, as far as their Shastram is concerned, you are studying the dead body. You are studying the dead body, Shavam. Shavam it is, isn't it? So this thing that our physical science, that means the science that is related to the body, physical science, is there. It will never be complete. This will go forever. This study in medical field, medical science, this research in the medical science and development work, all these things will exist as long as there is a material body in this world. So long as we are all there, that research also will go. So if you are looking for a permanent job, that's a field where you will never have a job loss at any time, because this research has to continue forever. That is the way Krishna has done. That is where Krishna says joblessness doesn't exist in this field. It's always there. And another field equally important is the psychology. These two fields, psychology and the physiology or anatomy, these two fields, there is always work to do. It'll never be. It'll always be shortage because there is always changing. That's one beauty of that, isn't it? So they don't give any attention to the antaryami behind these two things. Which one? The mind and the body. They don't give any attention to that. And not only that, they don't give any attention to that. They are not even accepting that. That there is an antaryami inside. They can't even recognize that. That something exists in them. So you are completely given up this purna vastu inside, perfect thing inside, and you are holding on to this apurna vastu, completely imperfect thing, and you are keep on doing your research with this. This is what's going on. Is it not? Completely ignoring that purna vastu inside, totally not accept, not only giving any attention to it, but completely rejecting it, not even accepting it. This imperfect thing called the body and the mind, they are holding on to that and continuously they are experimenting with it, researching and experimenting with it. So that is the reason we will never become perfect under any circumstances. So Krishna is also spoke to us about that apurna vastu first. What is not perfect, he spoke first, which is the kshetram, isn't it? He spoke to us about the kshetram first. And then particularly about the one side, the gross body, and then the subtle body. That's what he has spoken in those two verses. If you look, the Mahabhudanya Hangaram Buddhi Avyakta Mevacha Indriyani Deshaikam Cha Panchachendriya Gochara. That's a gross body. Ichadvesha Sukham Dukham Samkhatas Chetana Dhridi. That's a subtle body. Body and the Shariram and the binds. So here, Krishna is saying here that the Icha or desire, that is the field of it is in the field of the mind. It is in the field of the mind is the desire, isn't it? And dvesham also, sukham, dukham, this is all in the field of the mind. Icha, dvesham, sukham, dukham. And so first thing there, Krishna talked about icha. Icha means desire, isn't it? Icha means desire. Lord Buddha, he for 12 years he engaged in meditation, and finally this is what he found out, where the problem is. Which one? This icha, desire. Whole Buddhism began from that. Lord Buddha realized this later on after 12 years of meditation. But only thing is, he didn't know it intellectually, he realized it, in other words. He understood that, not understood, he experienced inside. The moment the desire stops inside, there is no sukham dukham after that. As long as there is desire inside, there will be sukham dukham. So he realized it after 12 years of meditation. Meditation in the dhyanam. So the moolam, that means the root cause of all this thing is desire, isn't it? Desire is the root cause. And the same thing you will see in the Bhagavadam. Who says this? You know, we have discussed Ekadasha Skandam a lot now. So if you remember, I'm sure you will remember, who talked about this. One person said that the root cause of all the problems is this desire. If you look into the 24 spiritual masters, Pingala said this. Ashahi paramam dukham, nairashyam paramam sukham. She says there, isn't it? Ashahi paramam dukham. The moment the desire comes, you are inviting trouble. When desire comes, you are inviting trouble. So, the root cause of all the distress is this desire. And this desire is not a gross desire, sthulam. It's not only the gross desire. In a subtle level also, on a gross level you will go and do something to get it. But in a subtle level, this desire is there. What are they? For example, if you have in a subtle level a lot of desire for money inside. Gross desire gratify the senses. Many things we do in a gross level. But those desires which doesn't come out, but it is there inside. What is that? I want wealth, a lot of money. Then I want to have a lot of fame in this world. And not only that, I need a lot of comforts in this world. All these things, in a very subtle level, extremely subtle level, ativa sushmam, they call it. And including our breathing is happening because of this desire. Because the desire activates this breathing inside. Inside this body, including that, is tied to desire. We may ask, how is that? I'm not desiring, it is happening. You have been desiring, that is why it's happening. See, the body has come because you have desired for a body. That's why the body came. And when the body came, you have desired that it should function. And that's how this breathing started. So including it, so subtly is that thing called a desire, that even your breathing is coming from that desire. So in other words, that Ichha Shakti, power of desire, another gross form of that is this mind. And a gross form of this is mind. There are three steps here now. The food and the mind we spoke before. Food is the most gross part. Mind is the subtle part. So for the mind, food is gross. Or for the food, mind is subtle. Similarly, between the mind and this pranan, the same relationship. Pranan is the one which comes in the form of Ichha. So pranan, subtle form of the mind is pranan. And gross form of the pranan is the mind. See, it is in the Upanishads. Chandogya Upanishad, if you study, you will see this explained there. The subtlemost form, which is the pranan, that is centered around this desire inside, which has come. So that powerful is this thing called a desire inside every one of us. We may say, we will, generally people say, I have no desire. People make these statements, isn't it? I don't want anything in my life. I have no desire for anything. I just want to go back home, back to Kotet. People say, like, it's not that simple that you can go back. And Krishna will take out our subtle body and show it to us how much is inside. And till he shows it to us, you won't know what is inside. You are thinking that, desire is only what I am desiring for some sense enjoyment. No, the sense enjoyment is not the only desire. In a subtle form, there are so many other desires inside. As in when it gets an opportunity, it will come out when it wants, isn't it? So that is what Krishna says here, that this Ichha Shakti, or this power for desire, is the sushma form of the mind. Or mind is the stulam, or the gross form of that Ichha Shakti inside. Ichha Shakti inside. And similarly, the mind in another gross form is coming as the gross body. This body, what we have, is a manifestation of our mind. It's a manifestation of the mind, isn't it? So, so in other words, when this Ichha Shakti inside us, when it becomes in the gross form, that is how creation happens. That Ichha Shakti's power, I'm saying, when Ichha Shakti, when it takes its gross form, it manifests in the form of creation. Creation happens from that. So Vedam says this. In the Vedam it says, Kamastade apre samavartinaha. Vedam says, first thing was desire. And from desire came sangalpam, and sangalpam all the srishti came. From sangalpam all the srishti came. It is Krishna's desire that came in the form of creation through Brahma. Is it not? Remember this, when you study Bhagavatam, you will see. Sri Narada Maharshi went up to Lord Brahma. Father, isn't it? The son went to the father and told father, Father, you are an amazing person. You have created all these things. Father says, no, I didn't do anything, he said. Somebody else is behind it. And he says at that time to Narada Maharshi, you whatever, I have created all these things, that's correct. But who gave the power to create? That Sarga Shakti. That is how in the Bhagavatam, in the story form, when it's spoken, it says, Krishna shook the hands with Brahma. And the power of creative power went from Krishna's hands to Brahma's hands. So you can see the first shake hand was between Krishna and Brahma. There he saw the first time who shook hands, isn't it? And through that shaking hands, that Sarga Shakti, creative power, went from Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. Through that medium of shaking the hands. What important it is spoken there is that Ichha Shakti, where it developed, in Krishna it developed, this Ichha Shakti, isn't it? That Krishna desired, and even other scriptures also, let there be creation and creation happen, it says. So where this creation begins from? Ichha Shakti comes from the truth, absolute truth, from Krishna himself. It begins from Krishna. So here you can see that Ichha, Ragam, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, all these things, that if you something happens what you like, then Sukham. If something happens what you don't like, then there is Dukham. So all these things Krishna said at Kshetram. After saying this, one more thing Krishna said, this is your prison. This is the prison we are inside, isn't it? And from now on, Krishna is asking us, is there any way to escape from this prison? That is what he's going to talk about from now on. If you hear this very seriously, it will do some benefit. This is what Krishna is going to say from now on. So, and for me also, in the same way, without looking at you, looking at me, if I talk about this, it will benefit me. That means, when I say these things for the next few verses, you should not look at others. Has he got all these things? Don't do that. That's not what is supposed to be done. What you should do is look at yourself. Because normal tendency is like that, isn't it? If you say some things in the Bhagavadam, first thing you say, oh, next person who is sitting next to me, has he got all these qualities, or this person has got all these qualities? You won't look at yourself. Similarly for me also, if I look all these, what Krishna is going to talk about it, if I keep on looking at me and speak about it, it will do good for me. And similarly, when you are listening to it, if you look at yourself and hear about them, it will do good for you as well, in the same way. So, Kshetram, first of all, know that Shariram is a Upadhi, isn't it? Shariram is a Upadhi, it is a Upadhi. Upadhi means, what does Upadhi mean? Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, all these are Upadhis, isn't it? So, from this, there are, you have to look yourself and then analyze it. What problems I am getting from them, from the Upadhis? What problems do I get from the Upadhis? Krishna has shown to us what problems you will get from the Upadhi, isn't it? Krishna has spoken to us. What are they? Janmam, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukham, Sukham, and all other things like that. That is all the problems what Upadhis will create for you. So Krishna is saying here, the more you identify with these problems, which one? Jara, Mrityu, Vyadhi, all these things, and they, to a large extent, it depends on how much you identify with your body. Yeah, qualifications, what Krishna is going to talk about, Amanitam, Adambitam onwards, from the next words onwards, finally Krishna says there that you will see that that verse in the Janmamruti, verse 9, Indriyarteshu Vairagyam Anahangaram Evacha Janmam Mrityu Jaira Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam, he says. What does it mean? Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam means, Krishna says, if you see these problems, which one? Janmam Mrityu Jaira Vyadhi, and in that, if you are identifying with your body excessively if you identify with body, depending on the degree to which you identify with your body, these problems will disturb you. Which one? Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. So Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, it varies from person to person. To what extent it will disturb you, give you trouble, will depend on to the degree to which you identify with your own body. That's the first principle. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, to what extent you identify with your body, to that extent you will experience the distress. You will experience the distress. And to that extent, you will experience the distress, and there is no escape route from that. Nobody can escape from that. So, one mother, she said that my daughter-in-law has got cancer in the body. So, she went to the... the daughter-in-law is a doctor herself, and she has got cancer. Her husband also, the son-in-law also, is a cancer specialist. He's also a cancer specialist. He said, I couldn't do anything about it. He says, I can't do anything about it. There are so many people in this world who are cancer specialists dying of cancer. They're cancer specialists, but they're dying of cancer. They have died of cancer, they will die of cancer, and it is happening, isn't it? So, what does it show? What it's showing is, even if your knowledge cannot help you there, even your knowledge of the problem can't help you in that situation, isn't it? So, therefore, to think that if I know about your body very well, you can escape from the problem, no, you can't. Even if you know about your body, you can't escape from the problem what the body is going to create. This is the reason when Buddha, when he got frightened, when he heard about this body, isn't it? He says that, Buddha says that, you know, I don't know if you read the Buddhist history, you will see there. Buddha has got two names he has given. One is called Shakya Simha, and one of the name is Lord Buddha is Shakya Simha, and the other one is Bhavabhiru. Two names given to Buddha, Shakya Simhan and Bhavabhiru. Bhavabhiru, Shakya Simha means he was born in that race called Shakya race, and the lion of that Shakya dynasty. That's one. Bhavabhiru means who is so fear. He was a lion in that race, but he got so frightened about seeing the material existence, about the body. Is it not? You know that Buddha got so frightened after seeing this body. So, on the one side he is a lion, and on the other side he is the greatest coward. Who? Buddha. He's so frightened that when you see the way he spoke about the body, you will see there. Krishna says, only a person who is like that, he will be able to realize the truth. So on the one side, he was like a lion, and the other side, he was like a coward or fearful. A person who is like that can realize the truth, because that is what is required in us, that nature in us. So you have to get frightened about something really, what has to be frightened about. And as far as realizing the truth is concerned, you have to be very, very like a lion, you have to be. That's what it is, the courageous inside. As far as realizing the truth is concerned, you have to be courageous. And as far as the body is concerned, and you have to be, what is to be frightened about, you have to be really frightened about that. So, when somebody asked Buddha, why have you thrown away all this throne, everything, and wandering around like this, begging for food? And why don't you sit in your throne comfortably and do the administration here? Why don't you do that? Buddha says to him, I also like it, he said. I like to sit on the throne and run the kingdom. Then he said, Idi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Famous statement that is Buddha's. Idi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Idi ishta viyogam na bhavet. Ya sarvam anityam na bhavet. Ya janmani kasiradir na bhavet. Very famous, good statement from Buddha. All acharyas have taken it from Buddha. All acharyas have taken that. Idi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Because they all think identical, isn't it? Externally, they are all very bold and courageous people. But inside, they know what people should be frightened about. We should not be frightened about other things in this world. This is the thing what we should be frightened about. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Birth, death. If birth doesn't happen, old age doesn't happen, death doesn't happen, then I am willing to stay on the throne, Buddha said. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Then he says, Yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet. He is a king, he had all the facilities, the best of everything, isn't it? Still he is saying that where is a guarantee that this family will be with me, who might think it's mine? Where is a guarantee for that? Father will go, when he is old he will leave, mother will go, wife will go, children will go. So where is the guarantee? Yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet. If you tell me they will not go, they will remain here forever, then I am willing to stay in the throne. Buddha's answer. Yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet. Then, Yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet. This everything is so temporary. As a king, he can see his concern. Today you are a king, tomorrow another king will come and invade and take a lot of your parts away from you. You can lose the kingdom also, isn't it? Pandavas wandered around in the forest for 14 years. Duryodhana and others have taken away everything. And it took a long time for them to get it back. So such royal family people like Pandavas, they had to wander around in the forest. Is it not? So what is Yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet? If they are all permanent here, I am willing to sit on the throne, says Buddha. So none of these are there and you want me to sit there? He asked this question. Yadi janma jara maranam na bhavet. Yadi ishta viyogam na bhavet. Yadi sarvam anityam na bhavet. Yadi janmani kasir yadir na bhavet. What happiness can I have sitting on the throne? He is asking. Iha kasya janmani, iha janmani kasya radhiranda bhavet. So after saying this, nobody can hear radhi. Nobody can have radhi. Radhi means that I would have been very happy if I am having all these things permanently with me. But I am not seeing it like that. Every moment I am seeing like this, lot of problems and distress and miseries and I want to escape from this. So the first time Buddha has asked this question. This is how Buddha asked his first question about it. So intelligence is that. That is what Krishna's point also here. That you study the Kshetram. About Kshetram you should be frightened about. About Kshetrajnan you should have no fear. You should be hold on to that strongly. And there you need courage. Kshetrajnan is concerned, you need the courage. Kshetram is concerned, you should be frightened about. That's the point Krishna is making here. About Kshetram is concerned, you should be frightened about the Kshetram. That Kshetram is not going to give you any happiness. And always that understanding. As far as Kshetrajnan is concerned, you should know very well there is the shelter there in the Kshetrajnan. That is where all the shelter is. And holding on to Kshetrajnan very strongly. That is spiritual life. So here Krishna says there that at that stage that I did not see like this, Buddha says. So how to escape from this? And so intelligent person first has to have this fear inside about the Kshetram. About the Kshetram. Not the way we are frightened about the Kshetram. The way we are frightened about the Kshetram is like this. As soon as there is a problem in the Kshetram, we say, is there a way of fixing it? That is not fear. We look for fixing the problem, isn't it? And then for a few days it goes on reasonably well. And then another 10 days another problem comes. Again you look for another solution somewhere else. That is not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying, when the problem comes, seeing the problems in the Kshetram, be frightened of this Kshetram. I don't want this Kshetram. That vairagyam has to come inside. Not to have this Kshetram anymore. That is the first thing what is required. But if you are fixing that Kshetram again and again and again, just like some cars, you know that they'll they will never throw it away. Keep on tampering with it, and as long as they'll get the life out of it. And sometimes you'll see they'll spend any amount of money and still keep it on the road somehow going. Sometimes some attachment builds up like that. Isn't it? With the cars. Some in different ways. Similarly with some gadgets also we have like in a similar way, like the cars. And it's the same thing with the body also. There's not much difference. Sometimes you see that A-rich car from 40 years ago still on the road. Or sometimes like people see the vintage cars, they will have some. Once in a way when there's a good sunshine, they'll drive through all the village. That's the only day they'll use it, that car. Otherwise it is parked in the garage somewhere. So if you look at the kshetram in that way, it won't help. You have to look at the kshetram like this, well, it's ready for the scrapyard. That way you should look at the kshetram. It is always ready for the scrapyard. I don't want that. Even if somebody brings a government brings another scheme, scrappage scheme or whatever, no. We don't want another car. That is what you have to accept. Only if in that way, if you look at the kshetram, it will help. Kshetram is for one day to scrap, meant for scrapping. If you take it that way, it will help. So Krishna says, with kshetram, you should have that fear. It will break down any moment. Like the car when you drive, what happens? You're always careful. Is any noise anywhere it comes from? Immediately, oh, is there something going wrong somewhere? Start thinking. And then immediately you will check, oh, you have got the, what is that? Who gives the insurance? AA or RIC or whoever. Have you got the number, everything available ready somewhere to call in case of a problem? Or the so, why is it like that? Because kshetram is like that, very much similar to that. As soon as there is a problem, you are looking for the solution. Krishna is saying that always be ready as though you are driving into the scrapyard with this body is concerned. And he says like this, in such a person, first thing what he should do, he should approach someone who knows about the kshetram very well and who knows about the kshetrajnam. That is, in the shastram, in these verses, Krishna is saying, Acharya Upasanam. That's the word he has used here. Acharya Upasanam means approaching an acharya who knows about the kshetram and who knows the kshetrajnan, who can talk to you and convince you about the kshetram and kshetrajnan properly. That's what one should do, Krishna says like that. So, if you look into the Srimad Bhagavatam, if anybody has Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the 13th chapter, there is a verse, Vidura talking to Dhritarashtra, 26th verse, 1:13:26. 26th verse 1:13:26 Who is saying this? Vidura is saying to Dhritarashtra. He is saying to him, because he says Vidura pravrajet sagarottama, he says yasvakarat paradoveha jada nurvedam almavan. Vidura says to Dhritarashtra that Dhritarashtra is very, very old, isn't it? Dhritarashtra was very, very old. He says to him pravrajet sagarottamam narottamam, that your 100 children are dead. Dhritarashtra's situation at that time. Yes, so kal paradoveha jada nurveda malmavan kritikritva hari greham savrajetsa narottama. He says to him, 100 children are died and your brother is also gone, isn't it? Pandu has gone, others have also gone, all your relations have also gone, is it not? All his relatives also died in the war. Dhritarashtra's so-called relatives, they also died in the war. Then, now you are sitting here, and whom you thought about previously as your enemies, which are the Pandavas, isn't it? You are thinking about them as your enemies. And those enemies, Pandu's children, Pandavas in other words, they are coming and giving you the food now. And you are eating that food, you know, to create that disgust inside. Vidura used some heavy language there. Grihapalan, he says. Grihapalan means dog. Like a dog you are living here, he said. You have fought this war, Mahabharat war, only for what purpose? Against the Pandavas, isn't it? To kill them and to take the whole kingdom. And you didn't get it, you lost the war. And now you are sitting here and they are coming and feeding you. He is blind as well and completely at the mercy of the Pandavas. And Pandavas are feeding you. And you are eating that food. Is there anything more disgusting than this? Vidura said, that one word was enough. It worked. Dhritarashtra says, got up from his seat, held Vidura's hand, Vidura, let us go. I won't stay here anymore. Somebody had to say this to Dhritarashtra. Otherwise he won't go. This is how we are all. Like this, isn't it? We'll hold on somehow to the little comforts here and there. We won't go till one day Prakriti says to us, now you go. And then also we'll put our hand, see if we can hold on somewhere. But this is what is called Vairagyam, isn't it? That Vairagyam won't come easily. We'll always look for some shelter here. So what happened to Dhritarashtra? Grihabala samuthidaha. Bhagavatam says like that. That yasagal parado veha jadanurvedam alpavan hridikritva harim greha savrajetsa narottamaha. So all these things, that so many things have happened, and Vidura is saying to Dhritarashtra in a very surprised mood, he's talking to him, that you are still staying here after all this what has happened and eating this food like a dog. He used some heavy language there to create that situation inside. So and without any necessity, you're taking the breakfast from them, you're taking their lunch from them, and everything, whatever they are giving, you're happily consuming that. This is nothing more disgusting than this, he said. And Vidura showed his surprise to them. And will there be people like that? Yes, there will be. There will be people like that. Because how much distress are we seeing in life every day? Isn't it? Lot of distress we are seeing every day. And a lot of death also we are seeing every day. But still, we are saying that it's not too bad. Lot of distress in life, isn't it? Some form it's coming and giving you a lot of trouble in various ways. Yourself suffering and you are seeing the distress others also. So that is why it says, Aho Mahiyasi, if you look into the 22nd verse, Aho Mahiyasi Jendor Jividasha Yadha Bhavan. When I see this desire to live in the people's mind, even after going through all sorts of distress here, he says, I am in a shock, Vidura says. On their own, they are suffering heavily here, and they are also seeing the distress of so many others. In spite of all that, they want to live in this world. Vidura says, I am in a shock. He says, by now, Vidura has left home. You have to remember that. 36 years before this incident, Vidura left home. And then he went on his pilgrimage. Vidura had everything in the house. A nice wife who was very Krishna conscious, devotee wife. And all comforts, he had everything. In spite of all that, Vidura walked out from there. When Vidura walked out from the house, what did Sukadeva Goswami says? The very fortune of the whole Kaurava family is walking out, he said, about Vidura. Isn't it? When Duryodhana abused him and threw him out from the palace, that is what Shukabrahmashi says about Vidura. And that Vidura, 36 years he has been wandering around throughout Bharatavarsham. One temple to another, one holy place to another, meeting one sannyasi or the jnani or a realized soul and discussing with them spiritual life. So you can imagine Vidura's state of mind at that time. Whereas our good old Dhritarashtra here, again and again working here with the family life and trying to fix this and fix that, gone through this huge big war, and after that there is no solution, and still sitting there and trying to eat the food from the Pandavas. So Vidura was the right person because he had gone through, he has seen all these things, and by now Vidura's state of consciousness is very, very high. Because he had that vairagyam inside, 36 years to wander around in the holy places without caring for the body. If you remember how Vidura lived and in his pilgrimage, how he spent his time, that is sannyasam inside, Vidura's. So Vidura's realization was so good that he could say that to Dhritarashtra at that point, the way he spoke. Aho mahi yasi jando jividasha yadha bhavan. He says, what is shocking me, he says, your desire to live in this world after going through all these things. He spoke so strongly, Vidura spoke about that. He says, yadha bhavan bhima bhavarjidam pindam adate grihapalaval. You can't use stronger than these words like this. Bhima bhavarjidam pindam. Who is serving the food? Bhima, of all the people. Because it is this Bhima Dhritarashtra was always deadly against. And they wanted to kill Bhima. And you if you have watched Mahabharata, you will know what happened. One day when Pandavas came to see Dhritarashtra, so he embraced everybody. When it came to the tune of Bhima, they knew that Dhritarashtra is very powerful and strong, that he will embrace in such a way, it's so powerful that embrace will, Bhima will be, all his bones will be completely crushed. Knowing this very well, and Dhritarashtra is blind. So what did Krishna do? Krishna came Bhima away, instead pushed one metallic form there inside for him to, because he can't see who is Bhima. Who is, thinking that it's Bhima, he crushed apparently that form, what was pushed in front of Dhritarashtra. So enmity between Dhritarashtra and Bhima, enmity between Duryodhana and Bhima. Unlike Yudhishthira and Arjuna and all, Bhima was not forgiving nature. No forgiving nature in Bhima. Wants to eat well and wants to revenge well. That is Bhima, Bhima's nature, isn't it? So Bhima won't show any mercy and Bhima wanted to take revenge. In fact, when Krishna came back after the negotiations with the Dhritarashtra, Yudhishthira said, what has happened? Yudhishthira was unhappy that no compromise solution was found. Arjuna said, whatever happens, I don't mind, he said. This war, I'm willing, but I don't want to have a war. Bhima says, we must have a war. This is the difference. Because he thought, it is burning inside, Bhima. It is burning inside all the time. That he wanted that revenge. He wanted that revenge. And that very Bhima is now serving food. So, you know, the food, it's not only the person who cooks matters, who serves the food. His thoughts will come through that food into you. Isn't it? And Krishna knows that very well. And Vidura also knows that very well. That's why he's saying there that you are taking that food from Bhima's hands. And you know what you are getting from Bhima. Not only the food, all that thoughts, what's coming through that food. And he says here, Aho mahi yasi jando jividasha yadha bhavan bhima bhavarjidam pindam pindam. In other words, pindam means you make these wheat balls at the time when you perform the pindam ceremony. Every ball of food what he is giving you is your pindam, he says. That's what he is offering actually. It is your pindam. That pindam is what he is offering you and you are happily eating that sitting there. Bhima bhavarjidam pindam and adate grihapalaval. Just like a dog is eating the food without any shame, because he has given you that, you are eating it. Without asking where is this coming from, who is giving it. All these questions you are not asking. So you can see there, adate grihapalaval, that to use a word like that against a king, isn't it? Dhritarashtra is a king. Adate grihapalaval, that you are like a dog. He is saying that you are like a dog. Grihapalan means, grihapalan in a nice way you call a dog. Instead of saying dog, grihapalan. Grihapalan means gatekeeper or house. You can say your watchman, Grihapalan. It's a nice way of saying that, but practically referring to as a dog, in that sense like that. So that is the thing Krishna says here, that after seeing all these things, it's not happening still inside us. Again thinking, body is important, body is the whole thing important. So Vidura's elder brother is Dhritarashtra. Isn't it? It is his elder brother. He is talking to his elder brother. You are eating this pindam, he says. Instead of saying food, he said pindam. Deliberately he said that, pindam. and Vairagyam is not happening. Vairagyam is not happening. So what it is indicating, it is that why Vairagyam has to come by thinking about things properly. That's the only way Vairagyam will come. Properly scrutinizing things and understanding the real nature of this world, Vairagyam has to develop inside. Bhartrihari wrote a very famous book called Vairagya Shatakam. 100 verses, you can download that from the... If you read through 100 verses, you will develop Vairagyam. It is written so strongly, that language in there. Vairagya Shatakam, 100 verses. He wrote another book, Niti Shatakam, Vairagya Shatakam, one book. So you can see here that that either it should come from oneself on its own, it should come from inside. If not, it should come from hearing from someone. It has to happen. Vairagyam must happen either way. So, in other words, before old age comes, and before the body leaves us, internally we should leave the body. That's the idea behind it. When the old age comes and when the body leaves us, before that body leaves us, we should leave the body before the body leaves us. Just they give the example like this, that like the snake, when it moves around, you know, snake has got a coverage on that, isn't it? Sometimes they find out whether the snake has gone through, because it sheds its cover in different places. So then you know that snake has passed through that place. A plastic coating like thing it is. And it will be the form of the shape of the snake, and it will be lying there. So similarly, Ahir Nirvaidhi, Upanishad says that, like that snake is leaving that body, you should be able to leave the body. Like the snake leaves its external cover. In that way you should be able to leave the body. Not like the way that holding on to the body till the death and trying all sorts of remedy measures and finally ends up in a hospital somewhere and whatever, thinking that one day I will get better and I'll go home after that. In that way, leaving the body is not leaving the body. Leaving the body is like this. Before the body becomes old and before the body leaves us, internally you have to leave the body. Then you see, that is a proper way to leave the body. Otherwise it's not properly leaving the body. This is the way Krishna is called. Again, we mentioned this before. Dehastobi na dehasta. That is that perfection. Vidwan sopnar yathotida. Adehastobi. We are all the second category. Never wants to leave the body. Kumadi sopnadrik yatha. Adehastobi na dehasta. Even when the body goes away, want to come back to it again. When will I get my next body? That's what we are looking for. When will we live? What people ask this question all the time, isn't it? They say, I don't know what will be my next body. That means he wants another body. That's what it means, isn't it? Not seeing the danger. That means he hasn't understood what Krishna has spoken in these verses. Krishna is saying to us, see the kshetram and understand this body is the whole thing. And you should look at the body with fear, that always frightened about the body and always feeling shelter and rescue and courage as far as the Kshetrajnan is concerned. Kshetram is concerned always fearful. Shelter in the Kshetrajnan. That's what is expected. But instead, what do we do? Even after coming to spiritual life, and what is interesting here is, when you say these people telling you, that, oh, I don't know what will I be doing in Vaikuntham or in Golokam. He's thinking that he'll be going with the same body there also. He doesn't know anything. He's just thinking that I'll have a body still, isn't it? That means only one change I need to make it. Then this body to that body, isn't it? So this fear of Kshetram has not come to him yet. It hasn't happened yet. He is still thinking a kshetram is always necessary with yourself to enjoy and to suffer. And he can't even imagine a state where there is no kshetram. So body is concerned, there is no permanent solution as far as the body is concerned. And you can see here that therefore, even who said this? Dattatreya Maharshi said this, isn't it? Tathatraya Maharshi said this. So ultimately, even in Narayaniyam also, Bhattatri says the same thing to Krishna. Melpudu said to Krishna, same thing. He said that initially, if you read Narayaniyam, you will see this interesting thing. Many, many chapters, he asked Krishna, please cure my illness. Please cure my illness. Every chapter finishes with that prayer. He says to him, please cure my illness, he says. But when it comes to the end, he changes the tone. He has never stopped asking anymore to cure the illness. What did he say? Hi me deham oham. There is a verse in the Narayaniyam which has come from the Bhagavatam verse. Bhagavatam verse says that deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedu. You remember that verse? In the Bhagavatam, there is that verse. Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedu. That verse, Melpathur put it in the Narayaniyam in a different way. He says to him that hi me deham oham. He says this deha moham means this attachment to the body. He says here hi me deha moham teja pavana puradishayal premahedo dehe vitte kalatradishijam tulpadam smarandi soyam vanneshunova Paramih Parado Sambradam cha Akshikarnam Tukjihwadya Vishaga Vigarshandi Avashamadaida Kopina Twelpadabje. Melpathur said to Krishna, this is the same verse from the Bhagavadam, it's case like this. But why I'm saying from Narayaniyam is in Bhagavadam, Dattatreya Maharshi spoke about the body as a spiritual master, isn't it? As a spiritual master, he spoke about 25th spiritual master. After 25th spiritual master, he says, Deham. Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedu. This Deham has taught me one thing. What is that? Vairagyam, virakti. And vivekam. And also gave me the proper capacity to discriminate things properly. Deham gurur mama virakti viveka hedu. All that I learned from this Deham. Saying that, Dattatreya Maharshi finished Bhagavatam, 25 spiritual masters. When it came to Melpathur, he go one step further and said to Krishna, because he was summarizing Bhagavatam, what he said was that up to this point, this is on the 93rd chapter, there's only 100 chapters in that. It is in the 93rd chapter this verse is coming. Up to the 92nd chapter, because he was suffering from paralysis and stroke and arthritis and all problems with the body. Young age, 27 years, young person, had got all the problems in the body. So he was in deep distress with the pain and suffering what he was going through. And his brother brought him and left him in the temple and went away. Left it to him. Now you sort out between you and Krishna whatever that happens. So he stayed there and he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam in a summary form. That's Narayaniyam. So up to the 92nd chapter, he says to Krishna that please cure this, please get me out of this misery, let me live a life so that I can serve you and I can glorify you. This is so many things, he's a learned person. But when this part came, where Dattatreya Maharshi talking about body as a spiritual master, Melpathur completely changed everything and said, hi me deha moham, don't cure this body anymore. But get rid of this attachment to the body, he says. That's how he put it. Dehamoham means moham, illusion of this body. He says, hi me dehamoham tyaja, able to give up this. Pavana puradishayal prema hedo dehe vitte kalatra dishuja vivashidam tulpadam vismarandi. What has this body done to me? He says, body has done only one thing to me. Because of this body, I got attached to the house. Because of attached to the house, I got attached to the money. Because I got attached to the money, I got attached to the family. Because of attached to the family, I got attached to other things in this world. Dehe, gehe, vitte, kalatradishu. Kalatradishu means wife, children, everything, all together. And the result of chavivashitam, tolpadam, vismarandi. The result was that I have forgotten you. That is what has happened. So Melpathur is acknowledging there to Krishna that what Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken, Dattatreya Maharshi said only I accept the body as a spiritual master. Melpathur says more than that. He says to Krishna that because of this body, what has happened to me, not only is a spiritual master, but I learned one thing, it is from this body all my material existence started, with this body, isn't it? Because of the body, we felt the need for a house. Because of the body, we felt the need for the job and the money. Because of the body, we felt the need for a wife. Because of the body, we felt the need for the children. And because of the body, we felt the need for the society. Have we had no body? Who cares for all these things? That's what Melpathur's question is. Gehe vite kalatra adishuja vivashitam. Because this desire has built up like this, vivashitam, always in a very helpless state. And what is the final result of all that? Tolpadam vismarandi, completely forgotten about Krishna, the soul inside, Atma inside. And then what does he say? Then he says about the body, what it means to him. Soyam vanne shunuvam paramiha baradam sampradam chakshikarnam tukjihvadya vikarshandi avashamadaida kopinatvalpadabjem. Soyam vanne shunuvam, all I see with this body is, it is either it's a food for the fire tomorrow or it is food for the dogs. Vanni means fire, shuno means dog. Soyam vanni shunova paramihabaradosa ambradam chakshikarnam. And what else has this body got? This body has got certain things inside. What is they? Akshikarnam tokka jikhva andyam. That means the five senses. Tok jikhva adya vikarshandi. And they are continuously demanding something or the other from the world, isn't it? Tongue is looking for good prasadam. Eyes are looking for something nice to see. And ears wants to listen some music or some good sound. Skin wants to touch something nice, soft. And everything, all the five senses are tuk jikhvagyam vikarshandi avasha matayita. But none of them is dragging you towards Krishna. Kopi na twal padabje. Nobody is willing to drag you towards the Krishna's lotus feet. So that is how it was mentioned in the Narayaniyam, and that has come from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here important thing is, Melpathur is saying this thing also. You don't have to give up the body straight away. Don't go home and give up your body, thinking that oh, this body is such. No. What is required is to give up that attachment to the body. That is important, not to give up the body. Attachment to the body. Body also should go on its own way. When the prarabdham is over, it will go on its own way. At that time you should leave the body. But till then, attachment to the body has to be given up. So we'll continue with that next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.